The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Hump by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk off my lady hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Was that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack!
Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. Do you understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
All right. This is not practice. This is for real. This is PFW in Progress. We'll be here until 2 o'clock taking your calls and emails, talking Patriots when no one else will. Not that they should. I mean, the Bruins are in the Stanley Cup and big win last night, so they're
leading.
Up 2-1.
Yeah. Should be up 3-0. Yeah.
So I can understand, you know, the other talk radio talking hockey.
Sure.
You know, who are we going to put on that second line?
But why do you sound drunk when you say it?
Because half of them do.
Give me a break.
Half of the talk show hosts are drunk?
No, the call.
Talk show hosts, check.
But we're going to talk Patriots and, you know, probably some other things too.
Maybe some Bruins.
On top of the Bruins, you have the whole situation with the Celtics and Doc Rivers.
Yeah, what's going on there?
Really
what
Doc Rivers, once beloved, is getting a lot of criticism.
Yeah, I still love him, but I think he's very much worthy of the criticism he's getting.
Yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily an honorable thing that he's doing.
If he didn't want to come back in the first place, he shouldn't have come back.
Well,
right?
He signed a 5-year deal, and he's only halfway through it, and it's a lot of money,
but
and he doesn't want to pass up the money. That's
well,
why
that's
I think he deserves
it's
the criticism.
It's coming down to, I think, it's all about the
money. Otherwise he would just walk away if it wasn't leaving $21 million on the table.
And I think the Clippers are probably offering him a big deal.
And I think it's a good opportunity for the Celtics, too, because they're obviously
moving on. All this negativity that's in this town sucks.
Well, they're in a terrible spot because they have to move on. It's time to start the rebuilding process. Well, this helps the rebuilding process at least a little.
It does.
They have a chance to get something for a coach, which you don't normally do.
Although, I package Garnett with that.
Yeah,
well,
that's exactly.
Well, that's what they're doing. Yeah. You know, it's just a matter of how much they're going to be able to get.
They're going to get Blake Griffin?
A strange scenario in sports,
might
but
actually watch it.
Not all that uncommon in Boston. I mean, this is now like four times. We had Parcells leave here to go to the Jets, and we got compensation. Then we acquired Belichick for compensation from the Jets. John Farrell, they just traded for the Red Sox.
Yeah,
they had to trade a player for him, and now Doc Rivers. I mean, it doesn't happen a lot in sports.
Where coaches
but it's,
are actually
part of transactions. But here, it's happened a lot in the last 15 years.
Good, Paul.
Thanks.
Good, Paul.
Thanks.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. When are we getting that 800 line in, Kevin?
It works for domestic.
Domestic.
But it doesn't work for international.
Not yet.
They said, didn't J.O. send us an email that said not till August?
I know. I'm just involving you. I know the answer. I'm just involving you.
So I knew the answer, too.
Yeah.
So that's good. You put me on the spot, and I actually had an answer for one time in 3 years.
That is true.
Yeah.
You do give them static for never having the answer.
It takes a little longer for the international act, you know, because each country is different. So it takes a little longer for it all to kick in. But it's all in the works. It's in the works. So
hopefully by preseason.
Oh, yeah, definitely by preseason.
Well, for the pregame social, that's that's important for the pregame social.
Right.
We get calls from everywhere.
I was kind of bummed because I was going to call in the show from France, you know, international.
Vive la France.
And now I can't do it. So
Who's producing while you're away in your little bikini in France?
I believe John Egan. Chris's fellow monkey will be running the board.
Oh, okay.
Who's been in here training the last couple weeks.
Okay. He's been in here.
All right. We'll see how he does.
Okay.
All right. Will you be wearing a French bikini bathing suit while you're over there?
How about a beret? Will you come back with a beret?
A beret, maybe. A beret you might have a shot at. Yeah. A bikini,
a red and black one?
I was going to go black and gold for the Bruins so I can go to the parade in it, but, you know.
Yeah, that won't get you a punch in the face.
Why don't you grow one of those weenie mustaches, too?
There you go.
And you can come back and say, hey, head coach Claude Julien.
Oh, I'm just worried about...
Français,
I'm just worried about getting punched in the face over there. You know, doing the wrong. That's what I'm worried about.
In France?
Yeah.
They don't fight you. They just spit at you.
Yeah,
and,
that's what
and
I mean.
Oh, stop it.
Comments.
Fred.
Well, I hear
just stop.
I hear they're very particular about
never
a lot
even,
of
they are. You've
they
never
like
been
it.
To France.
They don't
have
like
you
it
never been
it,
to France, Fred?
They don't like
no,
it when Americans not. Don't try to speak their language.
Fred's very worldly.
We don't like it when other people come here and don't speak English.
I agree.
Well, here's the thing.
I have no problem with it.
Like, you know, I'm not ignorant enough to go over there.
I don't
want
to talk to people.
I want to at least try.
Good for you. You
know,
should
make an honest effort.
Yes.
But I'm not going to be, you know, I never, like, for example, in high school, where a lot of people took French, I always took Spanish. And that's, you know, unlike Andy.
I never took French.
Spanish
I think
to
in this country, well, probably around the world, Spanish is more functional. There's more people who speak Spanish than French.
I don't know.
Don't think that's true.
I don't know the answer to
what?
That.
What?
Oh, France had a lot of colonies in Africa. For instance, there's some in South America.
Are you going to try to tell me that more people speak French in this day and age than Spanish?
Well, Fred, when you go to the Olympics, there are two main languages, English and what's the other one? Not Spanish.
Because French has been a diplomatic language for a long time.
And why is that?
Because it's just
more
the
people
way,
speak it.
No, that's just the way it was. More people speak, and especially in this country. If you need
oh, in this country, yeah.
In this country?
In this country, sure.
I would agree with that in this country.
Yes,
well, no
but worldwide. This,
but worldwide. Spanish is spoken more than
I don't know.
French.
I don't know that. To be
I don't think
case.
That's. I'm. I don't think that's.
I'm more
case.
Worried, Fred, about.
I think so.
Those like social.
You might be right, but
you know, like the pinky thing, and you know, like when you're drinking your tea, they say they'll shoot it off. But in Britain, you're supposed to do it. I don't know. I'm learning like all this.
They'll
stuff.
Shoot it off.
They won't do anything like of the kind.
Don't wear.
Don't worry
Fred,
about
have you
it.
Ever been
don't
to France?
A There's a guy in a Marcel Marceau outfit that will come and shoot your pinky off.
Well, one thing you should not
what about,
do.
What about
one,
ball caps?
One thing you should not do, and I mean this.
Yeah.
Don't rush the waiter to serve you.
Okay.
You're expected to stay as long as possible when you go and eat.
Okay.
They don't like to be rushed.
So plan ahead.
Right.
For extra
I mean, when you go sit down for a meal, you're expected to be there for a
in
while.
In America, customer
in America, they
king.
Want you to get the hell
in,
out
in
of
France,
there.
In France, the customer is far from the king. It's you know.
No.
Everybody
that,
else,
especially if you're a peasant American.
Right.
No. That's just the opposite. They treat the meal time as one of the most important times of the day.
What about treating the customer the way the customer wants to be treated?
Well, that's the different mindset.
You don't know
over
what
there.
You want,
right? You don't. We'll tell you.
You don't know what you want.
And no, it's a different cultural thing to them.
Right? They look
meal
down
time
on
is,
us.
No, they don't.
They
look
down their nose at Americans.
Meal time is an important time of
they
the day
down
for
on
them.
Us.
Whereas here,
well, they're a short
like you guys,
people,
you
so.
Inhale your food in 10 seconds and it's gone. You don't
true.
Appreciate
that
the
is
meal.
True. No, it is true that, you know, you linger well, over your food.
It is French food. I mean, what's there to savor?
I know.
Oh, geez.
The portions are like
oh,
the
God
size
Almighty.
Of my, you know, pinky.
Well, I hear also.
That's not true either.
I hear also, Freddie, they do it kind of backwards. They eat their big meal as lunch and dinner time is.
Well,
less
and
than
that's more. That should be the way it is.
Yeah.
That's not. Like a
so that'll be a change
that, that's
for me.
A health thing.
That should yeah, you're right.
You should not eat your biggest meal at the end of the day.
Right. Before you go to bed right. and,
yeah, and I heard they eat salad like last, you know, instead of like you would eat it as an appetizer.
Oh, is that right?
Well in Italy that's the thing too, because
yeah. Well, it cleanses you.
Salad helps you digest more.
Exactly,
you should
exactly.
have salad at the end of your meal, not
exactly.
at the beginning.
I'm just like these are things that people said, oh, you'll find different about.
Yeah. But it's not going to be that.
But I'm more worried. I'm more worried, Eric, about like, for example, like ball caps. So you're not supposed to wear a baseball hat.
You can do that. You'll just stand out as an American when
okay.
you do it.
Okay.
But they're not gonna tell you to
okay.
take it off.
Right. The French gangs will attack.
Yeah,
I'm
just,
I mean, be respectful if you go into
like
big
a museum
cathedral
or
something.
Yeah,
take your hat off.
Well,
but you should do that anywhere.
And I'm always accustomed to like when you eat. Obviously, when you go into a restaurant,
you
take
your
hat off.
Hat.
I'm always
yes.
accustomed to that.
That's,
oh, I take my hat off all the time. Even at training camp, when we're outside all day, I don't eat with my hat on. My mother would smack me in the back of the head.
But here it's been
and I always
hot
know,
over there.
I always know that's in the back of my mind.
I think if you're
I always remove my hat.
I think you can leave your hat on. But yeah.
So I don't know if any of the listeners have tips for me to not get. Attacked over there.
Make it attacked.
Okay. Brian in Essex has an answer. The number one language in the world is Mandarin. That makes sense. With 1 billion plus. Number two is English. Number three is Hindustani. Number four is Spanish. Number five is Russian. Number six is Arabic. Seven is Bengali. Eight, Portuguese. Nine, Malay, Indonesian. And number 10 is French.
All right, Freddie, you are correct.
So, but Hindustani.
Yeah, that's, I don't know where that comes
from. People in India, right?
I guess.
There's a lot of people in India.
I guess.
English coming in as number two is surprising to me. I didn't know that.
Why is that surprising?
I didn't know we were number two. I thought we would be like five or six.
Well, because if you think about it, everywhere you go,
I know.
I mean, English is the lingua franca, no matter where you go. I mean, if you see tourists in what? You don't know what a lingua franca is?
Is that the same as language?
No, it's a shared language among two people who don't speak the same
lingua
language.
Lingua franca.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. We
so like
something.
When he's in France, if he sees
people who have two languages, most of the time one of the languages is
one
English.
Of the other language usually is English.
Okay.
Like when he goes to France, if he sees like a German tourist speaking to a Japanese tourist, most likely they're not going to be speaking French to one another. They're going to be speaking English.
Interesting. And not surprising, Mandarin number one, just because of
the
sheer
population,
numbers of people.
Sheer numbers.
Yeah. Good.
I thought French would be a little bit higher than that.
Yeah, I did
but
too.
I'm surprised it's 10th.
Because like in Africa, there are so many still like nations that are independent now that used to be French colonies, particularly West Africa.
Yeah, but they all speak French now.
But
French is one of the Romance languages that is dying. It's right behind Latin.
It can't be as bad as Latin.
It's not bad as Latin. Nobody speaks Latin.
It's dying.
Oh, we were supposed to look up a Latin phrase. Remember
the other day? And I still can't speak it.
What's that?
We were going to look up that Latin phrase the other day. Remember?
What was the Latin phrase?
It is what it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were going to make a dollar bill with Belichick's face on it and have "It is what it is" in Latin. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Someone will email that in now.
Everybody's emailing in. We got a show. Everybody's emailing the
should we point out the big
thing.
News?
This one guy writes in, French isn't even on the list, so.
Oh, that's baloney.
It's
10th. The guy had the
That's a top list. 10 list. It's on the list.
This one has Spanish as number 2, English as number 3, Mandarin number 1, then Arabic, Hindi, Bengali, Portuguese, Russian, Japanese, German, Javanese, and then others.
Javanese.
So, nobody speaks French except the French and the Canadians. That's it.
Okay.
All right.
Why are we speaking like this?
Like this? some big moves for the Patriots.
What's the big move?
They
Win?
They signed a running back, George Wynn.
The win-win.
Is that an indication that there's somebody dinged up and is expected to be dinged up for training camp?
I don't know that to be the case.
They did have three open spots.
Yeah, they have a lot. They also let go of the kicker from Notre Dame.
Yes.
Ruffin?
Ruffer.
Yeah.
Ruffer.
Yep.
David?
Yes.
Yep.
Got one of the names right. So they had 87 on the roster. Now this makes 88 again. An undrafted rookie win out of Cincinnati. I will only add one.
I was actually with somebody else,
one
right?
One thing.
Before? Houston?
I believe that's true. Brian Kelly was here watching one of the days of practice last week. I think the Tuesday practice at minicamp, I want to say.
Yep.
Brian Kelly came from Cincinnati before he went to Notre Dame. Just maybe, he said, this is a guy out there. He's available. He's not a bad player. He's got some talent. Can do right. this, that. Maybe told Bill. And yeah, I think he's probably training camp fodder. And you're probably right, Fred. Maybe Ridley's hamstring. They want to guard against having to have him out there.
So we need
Let's get him
body.
Here. That way he has 6 weeks to know what he's doing. Or he could be cut tomorrow. I have no idea. Right. But just sort of looking at it. Brian Kelly, there's a connection there with Bill. The guy was recruited at Cincinnati by Kelly before he went to Notre Dame. So maybe there's something there.
Gronk is scheduled to go under the knife
today.
Today.
In L.A.
Yeah. Today.
So we'll see how that is.
According to multiple
he'll be
reports.
Fine, from what I hear.
I think he's already fine.
Yeah. What else do we have?
In terms of news,
John Abraham is still out there.
Yep. Almost an international incident over the weekend.
Yeah.
With the ring thing surfaced because Robert Kraft gave a talk and mentioned that story.
Mm-hmm. Which he has done several times over the years.
Is that the judge that sentenced?
I believe so.
Chad?
Yeah.
Ocho Cinco. That's a good glamour shot.
Glam shot of the judge, huh?
Now I know that she's pretty good looking for a judge.
Yeah.
I saw some of the things on
after
TV.
After 7 days in jail. After 7 days in jail, Johnson was released by the judge.
What do you think of that?
Because he apologized to her.
I think it's fine.
I think it's ridiculous.
I think it's
ridiculous.
I think it's even more of a mockery now
that he was sentenced to 30 days. For that. I mean, either he did something wrong or he didn't. I mean, whether you liked his comportment or not.
I think,
as much as I like the word comportment, whether you liked his reaction or not, I mean, he didn't make a mockery of the court by smacking his lawyer.
Well, I guess he had done other things.
When I originally heard it, I thought it was a woman that was his attorney.
Right.
And it was some sort of disrespectful, you know, like some sign that, you know, you're not taking this, you know, violence against women seriously enough. You're going to jail for 30 days. That's what I thought. That way I saw it was a guy. I'm like, really? Because you didn't like his reaction, you sent him to jail. And then he goes to jail for 7 days? You said 30.
Right.
I like it even less now. I mean, if you're going to do it, stand by it. I don't get it.
Okay.
I didn't have a problem with the original thing because I don't think you should do things like that in a courtroom. I think you should have respect for the system.
Right.
But I don't have any respect now for the judge for letting him off the hook after a week.
If you're going to
impose a punishment, stick to it.
I look at it as the judge didn't have respect for the system by saying, you've done nothing wrong except for slap your lawyer on the butt, so I'm going to send you to jail now when I wasn't going to, and then 7 days later, I'm going to make a mockery of that ruling and just let you go.
Well, but it's like being in contempt.
Yeah.
Sort of.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
You don't like being in contempt either?
No, I don't like anything that she did.
No, I'm saying just being in contempt of court.
She looks
pretty good. That's similar to being in contempt of court.
Yeah, but
isn't
I don't
it?
Think that he did anything to be in contempt of court.
I do.
Is it something I can send to him?
I do.
By smacking his lawyer on the butt. So I don't see that as being this big slap against the judicial system that she took it as.
Yeah, I just think she indicated though that it's not the first time that he acted up in her courtroom and. Yeah. I think he needs to be taught a lesson somehow.
Oh, I'm
some
not
way.
Defending his actions. I mean, he hit a woman. He deserves to be punished for it or whatever.
I just think that he's not on the right path.
If she had sentenced him to 30 days for what he did, I'd have no problem with it at all. But by all accounts, he was going to get off on that.
Yep. Yeah, he was. Yeah.
I'll be surprised if another team gives him a chance, too.
Oh, he's done.
No, I think
that's all over. Yeah.
WebRadioPatriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Todd's in Toronto. Hey, Todd.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
So, I got a little bit of advice for your producer who's heading overseas.
Okay, Kevin, are you listening to this? Okay, he's listening. He nodded his head.
Okay, all you have to do is go online and you buy yourself a Canadian kit. Gets you a patch for your backpack, some stuff for your luggage, a couple shirts and stuff like that so that you're not looking like the boorish, cranky American who doesn't know that they speak French in New Orleans.
Right. So I would say that the patch is what, a Canadian patch that they give you?
Yeah,
or
it's the Canadian flag.
Right.
Oh, God.
Eric's shaking his head.
There we go. Okay, no. Now on to some serious stuff. Just a couple things.
Oh, that wasn't serious?
Well, kind of.
Let's hope not.
I don't want him to disappear because he does produce the show, so that would be bad.
Someone can do it. No one.
Don't say a monkey. That's always bad. All right.
You're a good point.
George Wynn. Coming in, where does this sit Bolden? I really like Bolden, and I'm hoping that, you know, something will go on. And I'm really getting tired of hearing that, you know, we let a really good receiver go, and now nobody can replace them. And I'm going, wait, we don't have a good wide receiver. It was a slot guy. The wide receiver we lost was pointless. He was superfluous to the system. So why are they constantly reporting that? Is that just...
Well, no, they're only reporting Brandon Lloyd's loss in terms of production.
Yeah.
You know, Grant, I agree with you, Todd. I think that they force-fed him and enhanced his numbers. So I agree with you. But that said, it was still 70 catches, and you got to make that up somewhere, you know?
Right.
So that's all I think... In terms of reporting the loss of wide receivers, that's all I think they mean by that. I hope.
Yeah, I hope so too, because I agree with you. I don't think it's any major loss that Brandon Lloyd isn't on the team, but you're right. That if you take away even half of those catches.
Yeah. The question is, if they do the same to a guy like Donald Jones or Michael Jenkins, can you get those
more
numbers?
Or even better.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's the question.
That's the question.
We don't know.
And that's the thing is, I'm not a huge Brandon Lloyd guy, but just because he wasn't, I think, a great fit doesn't mean that they've replaced him with anything better. I don't think they have. right now. Now, we'll see what happens with the rookies, but the rookies haven't had a chance to be out there.
I think, though, if whoever it is has, you know, a 60% catch-to-target ratio, you have improved.
I'm not sure you have that guy.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's all I'm saying.
My big problem with Lloyd was not so much the yards after catch, which was an issue, but it was that he only caught around half the balls thrown to him.
Yeah, no, you're right.
That's my problem.
And I was leading the brigade, the anti-Brandon Lloyd brigade, because I didn't think I thought the vast majority of his catches, like you said, were force-fed early in the season. I thought he had like 35 or so catches in the first month and a half on a lot of quick screens, just blatant attempts to just get him the ball and make sure that they didn't have any controversy on their hands. The last half of the season, I thought he was an utter non-factor, with the exception of the San Francisco game.
Right.
He had a good game against the Niners when they were losing by 30 points.
That was his best game.
You know, the other part of it, the running back thing, I think, Todd, it gets to Fred's situation with George Wynn, you know, who's not healthy. Maybe it's Bolden. You know, Bolden hasn't been out there really yet in any of these things. He's been with the rehab group. And some reports say that he's dealing with an ankle problem. Maybe they're not expecting him to be ready to go, and they just want another guy out there to take the reps for training camp as well. So Bolden is a guy, I think, that is sort of in an iffy position heading into training camp.
Yeah, especially after his foibles last year.
That's right.
Okay, thanks, Ben.
Okay, Todd, thank you. Todd from Toronto. We are aware that we can hear Kevin in the background.
Yes, it is. For whatever reason, it's extremely warm in the studio today. We have the door open between Kevin's studio and our studio.
Yeah, it was not official lunch business.
No, I know. It's not Kevin's fault. It's hot in here. You know, it went from cool to cold to now
It's been
hot
very
again.
Cold.
Yeah.
It's been very cold in here. Yeah, but today it's
warm. Now it's really hot. And part of it is because of the change of weather outside. The building takes a little time to adjust to what's going on. So when there's drastic changes, you get what we get today. Nick says Canadians don't speak French. Only Quebecers speak Francais. Chris says in other countries like Germany, they are required to learn English from the time they are in elementary school. And James Pettigrew says the only people I hate more than Tim Tebow is the French.
I like it.
So it doesn't matter what it is. People will chime in on this show. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's get to some email, shall we?
Sure. I thought you just did.
Yeah. let's see. Cody writes in, I must say I didn't understand the whole craft when Putin took the ring thing until last week. That's nuts. If I was him, I'd definitely get it back. But anyways, I was checking out our roster, and I was hoping to hear some thoughts about the receivers. Seems like Bill is leaning away from his usual small, quick guy theory into bigger bodies. Do you see this as a philosophical thing or just how it worked out? And just wanted to say thanks a bunch, guys, for keeping the season alive well into the off season. Cody in Nova Scotia. And P.S., I'd love to buy you guys lunch sometime.
All right, okay. Line him up, Kevin.
Step up.
Is it a change in philosophy?
I don't think it's a change in philosophy.
I don't think so.
So the redo quote has nothing to do with that?
I don't think it has to do with the kind of receiver they want, no.
No, I don't either.
Plus, they have a bunch of small guys on the roster right now.
Right.
They're just going to see who makes it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that there's necessarily was a target to get big guys. Now, I think they needed an outside guy, and I think Dobson may have been their choice among a group of others. Maybe some of the others were a little bit smaller, and they wanted Dobson. That I could see. But I don't think this was a philosophical thing. Like, we need to get rid of all of these guys. They needed to get younger, and they needed to get across the board younger. So I think that they got a couple of guys that are bigger, a couple of guys that are shit. You're right, Fred. There's plenty of guys that fit that Welker mold.
Right.
As being smaller guys. I mean, the number one guy they got was Amendola.
Right.
Right.
You know, he's... You know, not much bigger than Welker
10,
at all. So
right.
That, to me, I mean, you spent $31 million on a guy, and if you had a philosophy that you wanted to get bigger, that's not the way to do it.
Right.
Right. What was I going to say? I forgot.
Good point, Paul.
Melvin from Tennessee, I meant to comment on the baseball challenge, so I'll make it quick. As soon as I saw that first swing and heard that loud grunt on the video, I knew instantly, wow, Fred is in trouble. Five swings later, Fred swings, pauses, loses his balance, and tumbles off the screen. Priceless. pick two of the most questionable decisions made by the Patriots this offseason. And here's the choices.
Okay.
letting Welker go, keeping and paying Arrington too much money, signing Tebow, or drafting Harmon? Two out of those four.
The two things that I disliked the most were the last two, the Harmon drafting and signing Tebow.
I don't like the Harmon signing either, but I still feel pretty strongly about Welker, so I'm going
to
say that.
To be honest, the two things that made the question mark go off for me were the last two, signing Tebow and drafting Harmon.
I thought you liked the Tebow signing.
I don't mind it. I had no idea it was coming, and I have no idea what they're going to do now that he's here.
Well, but if you did have an idea, you'd like it?
No, I don't mind the signing, but I don't know what they're going to do with him. I'm not like these people that are like, I'm never going to watch another game.
Oh no! I mean,
and I had
that's
who's saying that.
And if somebody said
some emailers last week,
and if somebody asked me, should we sign Tebow? I would say no.
Yeah, well, that's how I feel.
You know,
I wasn't crazy about the Arrington contract either, but I do think that
we don't need that.
I do think that it was wise to retain Arrington. I think he's a competitive slot guy.
I could have sworn that you,
but I have no
earlier in the offseason, before when free agency was about to start, I thought you were for their getting Tebow. That's what I thought.
It might be. I don't know what the context was, but he wouldn't be somebody I'd go out and sign as the Patriots. That was not.
See, I thought they were going to do it, but I thought it was going to be much earlier than it was. I was surprised that it happened.
Understanding that Bill does generally a really good job of making sure distractions don't cause an issue. I understand that. I just don't see what the upside is on this move. I can't see a scenario that this is worth the aggravation. Again, understanding that it probably isn't going to be a distraction, but it could be. There's a first time for everything.
I don't think there's going to be
there
much
There could be
of a...
resentment among guys in there to get that this third-string Jag is getting all this attention. There could be resentment for that, and we'll never know because it's going to be in the locker room, and you're not going to openly talk about it. But I don't see, even if that doesn't become a problem, and he's a model citizen and everything is great,
right.
I don't see the upside.
Exactly.
I don't see what he can bring
forget
your team.
Forget about all
Nothing.
That. Yeah, forget about all that off-field stuff. Forget about, because I agree.
George Wynn can be the punt
protector.
I don't think
it's going to be a distraction. I'm just talking purely football. What's he going to do?
Anybody on that roster could be the punt protector, within reason.
Yeah.
The non-lineman. Anybody can play special teams.
That's the only reason. I have no problem him being here. It's up to them now to figure out what to do with him.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's worth it.
That's how I feel, though.
Yeah.
But you don't think of any staff in the league? This one can't do something with him?
Look, I really feel that if I needed a quarterback, and if I was willing to commit, I would get Tebow and commit to him being my quarterback. Even if I'm going to lose this year, I get him in there, I develop my offense around him and my personnel, and let's go. Let's go. I think he's a winner, and I think if you do it right, you can win with him. But it takes that total commitment.
What would you do?
I don't think he's worth it being a backup because different than Brady.
What would you do?
Yes.
If on the first day of training camp, Brady tore his ACL and was out for the year. So you have
six weeks.
Mm.
It's a very
to
good
make
question.
A choice. What would you do?
I'd put Mallett in.
I would. I mean,
I'd put Mallett in.
Wouldn't be a question
because
for
it's
me.
Not as much a disruption to what we're doing.
I'd put Mallett in, and I would look for the best option available out there of
exactly.
the Tim Rattay, Chris Sims types that they always seem to to
now,
look
now,
at.
Then you'd have a distraction.
But now with Mallett in, now I'm more open to running Wildcat and those type of plays because we're not talking about taking the
Brady
ball
off.
Out of the hand of the best quarterback in the NFL.
And
then
you'll get more of a media circus. With Brady starting, you're not going to have a media circus.
Right.
There's not going to be a story
You will have a media circus
I'm
for
telling
people
you,
saying,
there won't be.
Why not Tebow over Mallett?
Exactly.
Because people don't understand.
Exactly.
Right.
There won't be a circus when Brady's in there.
Right.
So it's not going to be a problem.
Right. Yep.
Maybe. Maybe it won't
Maybe.
Be a problem.
But I don't see it happening.
Yeah.
He might get some attention if he is asked to play another position, does so, and does so fairly competently. Then you'll have a story like, oh, wow, look at this. He really is a good athlete. He can play fullback or running back or whatever they ask him to do. Then he might get some attention for being a player that's different than everyone else in the locker room. But barring that, I don't see it being a problem.
Right.
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't see any scenario that he helps you on the football field. That I don't see.
Well, I think he could, but is it worth spending the time and practice to develop that? Because every time you do that,
well,
you're
if you do that, then it's a distraction.
Right. Well, yeah.
That's part of my reasoning.
Yeah.
It's taking away any time that he's taking away from the 53 guys that are going to help you win games, to me, is bad.
Yeah. Is it worth getting those reps in for that? And my answer is no.
I think it would be, and I agree 100% with Eric, it would be a storm if something were to happen to Brady.
Yeah, because people won't understand putting Tebow in means you're throwing the playbook out for all intents and purposes, and you're starting over. You know, so with Mallett, not so much.
Be interesting.
It would be.
But, you know.
Not the kind of interesting we're looking for, though.
I don't think we're going to get to a situation like that.
Scott writes in, first-time caller, not-so-loyal listener, he says. Figured out why we signed Tebow. McDaniels keeps his promise to Tebow, made when he drafted him. The promise of starting on opening day and making a 53-man roster, the Jaguars. The Jaguars will pick Tebow up when we cut him, and next year when the Jaguars are looking for a new head coach. So it takes a new head coach for them to pick him up. Who will take the job? Bad punctuation here. who will take the job? Yes, you guessed it, McDaniels. So he's predicting McDaniels will be the new head coach of the Jaguars next year after they fire their current head coach after one year.
Who hasn't coached a game yet.
Yeah, right. Hasn't done anything.
The Jags already have claimed every cast-off and would-be Patriot that Bill deemed irrelevant. All nonsense aside, why do the Jags keep doing this? Are the Jaguars really that bad that our cut players are starting for them? And that's JL from Tampa.
Yeah, they're pretty bad.
They are pretty bad. Yeah. And I do agree with you that it's very odd that they – I mean, it's like every guy.
I know.
I mean, it would be understandable if you take a shot at somebody here or there. Like a Brandon Dedrick, okay. I get it. You know, you – but every single one?
Yeah.
It's got to be like four or five guys now.
Three that I know of, right? Is it more than that?
Yeah, I think it's more than that. I think Jeremy Ebert.
You count Taylor Price from last year?
Right, from last year. Yeah.
Love, Dedrick, and now Kafka.
Kafka, right. So at least four this year and five if you include Price. Mm.
That's odd. I agree with – is it JL? Yeah. I agree.
P.S. When I first got to Florida, the smell was so bad it congested my sinuses for 3 years. This was mainly in Orlando because the middle of the state of Florida is all swamp and sinkholes, and the smell reflects that. So, Andy's not here, by the way, in case you haven't noticed.
I think people would have noticed.
Summer of Andy began today. Well, actually,
it smells.
He's just taking today and this week off. He'll be back.
Oh, he's not doing the.
He hasn't
the regular Tuesday Friday.
He hasn't asked for it yet. So.
I think he's just taking the rest of this week off. Didn't he say that?
Yeah, he is.
I got to start taking some days off.
Oh, yeah. I'm sticking, bro.
Let's see. Chris in California wants to know, can team members still get together with coaches and get more work in if they choose to?
No.
Is Bill allowed to hold more voluntary practices during this terrible time of the year?
Negative. Players can work out with players if they so choose.
They can do whatever they want.
Yeah. But no coaches.
Right.
Yeah, and the coaches generally aren't here, by the way. This is their
they're
only,
on vacation,
yeah,
they, too.
This is their only time that they have.
I think they're encouraged to go, you know, decompress because that's it.
Yeah, and they're usually not required to report back to the facility till a day or two or three days before training camp opens.
Yeah, and that reminds me, later today, Patriots will release the first 3 days of practice. So look for that on Patriots.com, the dates of the first 3 days of practice.
All right. Start making your travel plans to
I know that the off-season program, people participate in that at different stages. So I'm not sure it's exactly finished for the Patriots. So, we say that, no, you're not allowed. But there might be some carryover right now going on with players. But generally, the last half of June, the first half of July is a time
it's
off.
Ghost town.
It's a downtime.
Right.
The coaches go off, and that's when
Much
Bill
needed.
Spends his time on his boat, Five Rings,
right,
down in Nantucket, and does all these. They do their little recharge. So I wouldn't expect to see too much going on.
Let's go to the phones. Chris with the TIN is on the line. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Well, you tell us.
Summer of Fathead began, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, not a moment too soon.
He's limping around. He says his drive to work is really killing him.
Well, he ran a 10K.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then the next day, he drives to work, and he gets out of his car, and he says it's all because of the car. I'm like, No, you're getting old. And the next day after you do something that's strenuous, you feel it. It's like the day after we had our stupid baseball thing.
You were sore.
I was sore. It wasn't because I drove in the car for an hour. It was because I did something strenuous the day before. You know, but you try to tell him anything and, you know.
It's also awkward to see him stretching in the middle of the office.
He goes on a roid rage on you and all of a sudden, you know.
Well,
you're in a
fight. I mean, he's going to have, have that walk with the two watermelons under the arms.
Yeah.
And he's going to snap.
Yeah,
right.
Sticks his chest out.
The only problem is, yesterday he looked like he had a watermelon between his legs.
Christian, why don't you go tell his mom what the deal is, and then she can relay it to him.
That seems to be the only one he'll listen to is his mother. Right? That's the only one he'll listen to, Christian, so tell his mother.
Yeah.
By the way, on that side of the cubicles, it sounds like you got a cocktail party going on over there.
We have a lot of visitors on that side. Yeah. Well, because there's usually food and such.
There is usually food on that table, so we tend to congregate.
Snacks and goodies and.
But
yeah,
I feel like they should pipe in music for you, so you can just have some music while you have
flicking
your
lights.
Your little soirée.
Huh?
Yeah.
People like us.
I wanted to get your thoughts quickly, and I wanted to offer my opinion first on the whole Gronk situation.
He's fine.
And I know he's fine, but he's got another arm, I know.
I know.
Doesn't have another back, though.
The back, that's a whole real big issue now. And Paul, I saw you on Patriots Today about with Reese in regards to this question.
Yeah.
And I agree. I mean, I think that he should start the year on PUP. And I don't think they should take the shot of keeping him on the roster and maybe he's ready by week 3 or 4. Now, I understand, the offense is going to probably take a step back without him. But I'm with you in that I want him at the end of the year. I want him healthy. I want him ready to go. And the other thing is, this guy hasn't had an off season. This guy hasn't lifted. This guy hasn't trained at all,
People
right?
People forget about that, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you want him to go from zero to hot, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think he really needs not only this time for recovery, but I think he needs that six weeks for PUP, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
He needs that 6 weeks to really get his body back. Never mind football.
I agree. Yeah,
Eric's been making that point all along, and I agree with him. To expect him to be the blocking force with the strength that he has without having lifted for a while is, I think, asking too much.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. He hasn't.
No, it is true. All kidding aside by me.
I don't want to see it.
If the reports of what the surgery is are accurate, he's going to need time.
A lot of time.
You know, if he takes the full 12 weeks, it's not going to be, okay, 12 weeks, I'm ready
to go. Let's go.
It's going to be time after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And,
I think you're right. He needs to start on the PUP.
He's got to get his body back.
And I'll reserve judgment to see what the recovery process is like and how much lifting he's able to do before that 12 weeks is up. But, yeah, if you're asking me, I wouldn't really even give it any thought because I think that you have the luxury of playing in the AFC East and knowing you're going to win the division. And I know that Bill can't operate like that and the coaches can't operate like that. But they're also smart enough to understand we have a good enough football team within this division to have a lead coming out of October with or without Rob Gronkowski. And now if I can add a healthy 100% Gronk to the mix at the end of October into the start of November, and then probably have him at 100%.
Well, let me ask you a question,
going
Paul.
Into December. Now I'm rolling.
Let me ask
into
you a question
playoffs.
Though. No Gronkowski, and our worst fears about the wide receivers are true. Are you still saying that?
I absolutely am.
Really?
Saying that.
Yeah.
And you win by running?
You win with Tom Brady, just like you always win.
Amendola and Hernandez. Is that your?
Well, I don't care who catches the ball.
Well,
Brady
no,
will throw it to somebody.
What I'm saying.
This is not the worst group of receivers that Brady has had to deal with. It's not.
06.
Yeah.
It's not. It's just flat out not. And listen, I do recognize that Tom Brady 06.
No matter what happens, 06, it can't be worse than 06.
I think that's the bar.
That's fair.
And I do recognize there's a difference. Tom Brady in 06 as opposed to Tom Brady now. He's a younger guy. He was able to do more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, theoretically, you'd think putting more on his plate now.
Didn't he have the right shoulder back then?
That's dangerous. That's dangerous, putting more on his plate now than you did back then. But I think with Hernandez and Amendola and some of these other guys, somebody's got to be able to at least serviceably catch the ball the way Rishay Caldwell did. Out of Donald Jones, Lavelle Hawkins, Michael Jenkins, You know, Aaron Dobson, Josh Boyd. One of these guys has to at least be Richey Caldwell in 06.
Okay.
I find it hard to believe that they all can't play. I find that hard to believe.
All right.
Now, if they all can't play, then I'm wrong. What are you going to do? Sometimes these things happen.
And
you know, Richard Seymour, that was the last time.
Bring up the 06 season as a comparison. And, you know, that team was scoring points at the end of that year. Now, you know, they didn't have, obviously, they redid the whole position next year, but, you know, you still had, you had Troy Brown, you had Bed Watson, you had Caldwell. I mean, it wasn't by any means, and the running game wasn't anything to really, wasn't, you know, they didn't have any great backs. They had Corey Dillon. And
that was at the very end.
Yeah, that was Corey. So he was like, you know, it wasn't 0-4, but, I mean, when you look at the schedule for this year, they start out, you know, the first six games, they got the Bills, Jets, then it goes Bucks, Falcons, Bengals, Saints.
Yeah, it's a tough stretch.
That's a tough stretch.
Mm-hmm.
But if you come out of that stretch at 500 or 4-2, you know what I mean? Like, you can...
They open Bills, Jets, Bucks, right?
Yeah.
Do they have a chance to lose any of those three games?
Bucks, I don't think could so. Give them trouble defensively.
Please. Yeah, I think you're right. So.
Please. The Bucks have a terrible defense.
Yeah, the Bucks...
Really?
They completely overhauled their defense. That's why they traded for Darrell Revis. They had a terrible defense last year.
Well, now they've got Darrell Revis.
We'll see if it works.
Okay.
Most teams that do that, it doesn't work.
I know,
right?
But I like Darrell Revis. I think he's
like Darrell Revis, too, and he'll make them better. But most teams that go out and get three or four new guys to, you know, that doesn't usually work.
Okay.
And that's what this is a complete overhaul because that was a terrible, terrible defense last
year. Now, Miami.
One of the worst. I think it was the worst in football.
We're discounting Miami. Well, when do they play Miami?
The eighth week.
Yeah, that's not for a while. I'm just talking about early.
I wouldn't discount them either.
Now, Cincinnati is a game that I'll say, that's a game that most people probably look at and say, it's a cupcake win.
No.
I think that'll be a tough game.
I do not think so.
I think Cincinnati will be a tough game. I don't see the Bengals having any chance to win it.
Really?
But
New Orleans?
That'll be a tough game. New Orleans,
same
thing.
You're more of a homer than I am. Then.
No, I just look at these other teams. It's not necessarily what I think of the Patriots. It's what I think. I think when you have Bill and Tom, it gives you an inherent advantage
over
everybody.
But I think Cincinnati's on the up.
They are. I think that'll be a tough game. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I don't give Tampa Bay a sniff in hell of winning that game. Cincinnati could beat the Patriots. I don't think they will, but I think they could.
All right,
it's great.
Christian.
We're breaking down September here on June, what is it, 18th?
Yeah.
Wow. Eldridge is in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge, which long, tall wide receiver should the Patriots get?
The one that should have gotten the first round pick, Cordell Patterson. Or Andrew Hopkins. Because all through the training camp, you know, I hear more about them and Hopkins. And a lot of receivers over here, they're on IR. Or they're on injury reserve. Or they're on the sideline watching instead of participating. You know. So I'm like Christian. I'm kind of wondering, too. Cincinnati will be a hard game, and they can damn well beat them. You know what I mean? I think they can, because they got the receivers on the outside. They got a little running game, and you got to give the quarterback. This is through a third year, and he did good the first 2 years. So I'm thinking he's about in there, you know.
I think Cincinnati is an up and coming team.
They have a solid D.
But the Buffs. Remember now, the Buffs got Revis. They also got Golston, you know, and they got a couple of key players in that secondary that can cover and that can hit. So, you know, like I said, we ain't got that one receiver that we can put our hat on yet. So that might be a tough game also, but I think we'll beat them, but it'd be close. But if Freeman drops an egg, we good.
Yep.
But I was just wondering, since y'all covered them doing our OTAs and all, of all of them, all the receivers that's supposed to have been receiving, catching, which one looked good to y'all?
Amendola looked the best to me.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's clearly, yeah.
So Jenkins clearly
as really. It should be, right?
Yeah. No, $31 million. Dollars. He better
be. Right.
Okay, so Jenkins didn't impress you. Nor did Hopkins.
No.
Nor did, Andre somebody.
The other guys that sort of stuck out to me, and I wouldn't say that anybody was anywhere near as close to as impressive as Amendola, Eric's right. Kamar Aiken did some things. He had a couple of practices that he flashed. I thought that Kembrell... is it Tompkins?
Tompkins, yeah.
Tompkins. He's an undrafted guy out of Cincinnati. Maybe another Brian Kelly connection. Who knows? I thought that he sort of flashed. Not a burner, but good size. Looked like he had good hands. He's not playing.
He's hurt.
That's the unfortunate thing is those three guys haven't been on the field. Dobson was on the field for OTAs, but not minicamp. Boyce and Harrison haven't been on the field for anything.
So
you're entering training camp basically with those three guys having little to no connection to Tom Brady at all.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem, dude. And so I can understand why Bill always drafting people second and third rounds who can't participate in doing training camp. That's what gets me all the time. But everybody else gets the receivers, you know, that can practice and get the rhythm down or with the quarterback. But we can never do that. I just don't understand that.
Well, GM
sucks.
Yeah,
we've managed.
I'm gonna morph into Fred and say, well, those other teams can't seem to manage to win games, and we seem to do that all right. So
they can't seem to manage to win games.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We were one of the top four teams last year.
One of the top two the year before. Is that good, Fred? Am I channeling
Paul,
you well?
Good.
That's good when you go to the prom, but sometimes you want to be the prom king instead of the prom.
That's
ace.
Good, Eldridge.
That's true.
Good.
That's
good.
True.
That was a Paul-like response. Good.
That's true. All right.
You want to be the king instead of the maid.
This year, the king. All right. Thanks, all right. Eldridge. All right. Eldridge from North Carolina. Let's go to Connecticut. Kevin's in Waterbury. Hey, Kevin.
Oh, what's up?
Hey.
What do you think the Patriots' toughest matchup is going to be this year?
Toughest matchup this year?
Denver.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
And the AFC?
Yeah.
Are we talking about to get to the Super Bowl? That's what we're talking about,
Denver,
right?
Denver, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's probably the one.
I mean, Denver had the Ravens in their sights last year. They easily could have won that game.
Oh, Denver should have won that game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know. It was ridiculous.
Denver's a damn good team.
To give up a 75-yard touchdown pass with 20 seconds left is...
Right.
I mean, that's a breakdown of biblical proportions. I mean, you got to call it the way it is.
Right.
Denver was
yep.
choked away an easy win.
So how
do you guys think Tim Tebow will do this year with Tom Brady, you know?
He's going to be a fine backup quarterback, meaning he will do nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be one of the things that now we're all going to be curious to see at training camp. Do they do anything different with Tim Tebow?
Oh, okay.
And it'll make the preseason games a little bit more exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Get a chance to see.
Knowing the Patriots, they won't do any installation of, if they even do it, it will be when we don't have access. Knowing them.
That'd be after like a few weeks, though.
Yeah.
That's a long time to wait.
Yeah. Yep.
But you're right. Knowing them,
yep.
Wouldn't put it past them.
They could do it.
All right, Kevin, thanks for the call. Kevin from Waterbury.
They just had a thing with ESPN. They're talking to Adam Schefter, and they had the Gronk thing up there, and it said, to undergo back surgery today, Patriots concerned about return is the way they termed it. I couldn't see, obviously couldn't hear what Schefter was saying.
Patriots are concerned about return.
Yes.
Meaning?
When he's going to return, I would assume.
It's different than what they expected, or?
Did I just get finished saying I obviously can't hear what he's saying? I just was reading the caption they had underneath, and they went to a thing of Richard Seymour.
But that caption
talking about a possible destination for him.
Right. I thought he
but
was
he's
going to
talking.
Atlanta.
He's talking. Right. Adam Schefter is talking.
But, you know.
He's explaining what the caption meant.
I'm concerned about the return.
Oh, well, I'm glad that you finally
be.
Joined us.
But is that news?
We've all been concerned all along. I'm glad you finally joined us.
It just kills me.
Up till now, he's been fine.
Yeah.
Maybe it was because of Andy. He just didn't want to give Andy the satisfaction.
Dylan has a quick question. Is the Patriots offense getting too complicated?
I don't think so.
Why would one think that might be a concern?
Because of the inability to develop wide receivers.
I think we're part of the problem.
The media?
And I put us, this is not a check mark. I put us squarely in the... it's all we talk about is, it's complicated. It's hard. It's a lot of reads.
That's certainly not the easiest offense you'll ever see.
You know, and the same goes for the defense. We've heard, Bill Belichick's defense so complicated. I've heard some guys come in here and say, there's a lot to learn. I've heard other guys say, hey.
It's just terminology.
You know, Aqib Talib says, there's only a certain amount of coverages, and I know them all.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good point.
A good
point. It's just terminology.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
A lot of it, yeah. But, I mean, offensively, it's a little bit different. There are differences in this offense that are more make it more difficult than
I think you're going to see wide receivers this year catch passes because of necessity, and people are going to be like, he seemed to make a good transition to it. He said, and I think that part of it is when Brady doesn't have to do it, to different guys that he doesn't know for sure where they're going to be. He doesn't. This year, he's going to have no choice.
Right.
He's got to throw it to somebody.
Yep.
He's got to throw it to somebody he's not comfortable with at some point.
Let me tell you something.
Because you can't just throw the ball to Gronk and Hernandez.
Let me
you
tell you something.
You got to throw it to somebody else.
If. Okay, if Gronk doesn't come back right away, which we all expect, but the Patriots put up the same amount of points in production that they have the last few years, if Brady doesn't get MVP, then there's something wrong.
Well, why don't you let it play out to see how they score the points before you just hand a guy an MVP?
Well, you know what I mean. Brady's production, if he doesn't, you know, if they don't all of a sudden become a ground-and-pound team.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying I want to see him throwing the ball, okay. And I want to see how they're
okay.
doing it.
But if he makes these receivers look as good,
yes.
then he should get MVP hands down.
Sure, because I don't think they have great talent at receiver right now.
Yeah.
But I think that I've thought that at various times in the past as well. I thought in 06 he was a
deserving
reasonable facsimile of himself in 05.
Yeah.
And,
he was deserving
you know,
of MVP.
He had you know a lot of
right.
Jags out there. I think a lot of guys do it with different players.
Paul in Ontario, what effect does Tebow as a left-handed quarterback have on the rest of the field? The shoulder or his equivalent at that point in the depth chart move to right tackle instead of left to cover his blind side? Does the number one receiver move to wide left instead of wide right? Does the tight end line up at the other side of the O-line? How about on the D? Do strong and weak side get reversed as well? Basically, does the whole field switch over just because the QB is a lefty?
It's a good question.
It really is.
I mean, I haven't really noticed it closely enough to know what they did in Denver and what. Now, the answer to the last question first, because that's the easiest one, defensively, you would only change anything defensively if the offense changes. You're not going to change your weak side if the tight end stays the same
right.
and everybody stays the same. You don't flip-flop because the quarterback is lefty. You're flip-flopping because the formation on offense has changed. But it's a good question. Do they? I don't think that they would change the tackles.
I don't either.
The tackles would remain the same because left and right,
but the
for most of these guys,
is different.
Well, no, you're always you got to protect the quarterback.
But now the right tackle is now I've got his blind side.
But your responsibility is not different than the other side.
Well,
it might be more important.
Yeah.
Because it's a blind side. But Sebastian Vollmer and Nate Solder are pass blocking and they're making sure no one gets by. I don't think they would change because I do think there's a difference between the sides. Now Vollmer has plenty of. Experience at left tackle and vice versa. Solder's played plenty of right tackle from his rookie year.
And I also don't think there's a great deal of difference between the talent level of those two players.
I agree.
Now, if you had, you know, name the best left tackle
Cannon,
you've ever had.
If Marcus Cannon were playing, you might flip.
Then you might, yeah, exactly. Then you might consider it.
Because
but I don't think there's
say,
much difference.
I got to put the better guy on the blind side.
Exactly.
I don't think that you have that. I think Eric makes a good
it's
point.
It's a very good question.
But the whole thing with the receivers, I would be curious to look at some of that stuff and see if they do change the strength of the formation and stuff that Denver normally ran from one side, if they change it to the other. I don't know. I don't have the answer to that question.
All the more reason that – question of, like, really? You're signing Tim Tebow? You know, forget about how he is as a player. Going from a righty to a lefty. Now, if your quarterback was Steve Young, it would make more sense.
Well, if you have a lefty quarterback and that's your guy, then you change things. Matter of fact, when if I'm not mistaken, when Boomer Esiason played, they had a backup who was a lefty.
Right.
And I'm sure that wasn't by coincidence.
Right.
It's Todd Philcox?
Who was the guy from Carolina? Brunell.
I think it was Eric Wilhelm that was
he was for a while.
Boomer's backup in Cincinnati. And I don't think that was just by chance.
Yeah.
I think they probably had a left-handed, quote-unquote, offense, and they wanted to keep it that way as much as they could.
Yeah.
I don't know that to be certain, but it would make
that
sense.
Explains why Bill always has the left-footed punters. That's
doesn't want to change the punt
he doesn't
want
to change the punt protection.
That's a great question.
It is. That was a good question.
Yeah. It's one of those.
I mean, unfortunately, like most things, we don't have a good answer for you. But
that would be one, you know, without talking about Tebow specifically, Bill might elaborate on, you know.
If somebody asks it,
just as a general football type of knowledge answer. Mike writes in.
I won't be asking it, Paul.
While I hate when people talk baseball on the show, this is after all the finals, and I am stuck in non-smelly Florida where most people never heard of hockey. Two questions for Paul. Do you agree with Milbury's rant about Yager? I think he's 100% correct. Also, can you give a quick breakdown of how you see the series unfolding? P.S., what's going on with the Redskins' name? Are the freaking politicians sticking their filthy noses where they don't belong again?
The hockey situation Jágr in the first period of that game the other night was terrible, and he deserved to get criticized. Now, the one caveat that I would say is I thought the entire Bruins team pretty much was terrible and deserved to get criticized in that first period.
Yeah.
But Jágr's been much better since then, and I like the Bruins' chances. Freddie and I have been talking about the Bruins. Fred jinxed them in game one. Otherwise, they'd be up 3-0.
What did you do?
After the Bruins scored to make it 3-1, he looked at his lovely wife and said, they're not going to lose again.
I said, as long as hockey's played, I don't think the Bruins will ever lose another game.
They proceeded to allow the next three goals in that game and lose 4-3 in triple overtime. However, I like the Bruins, the way they're playing. I like their chances.
And I like Jágr. I mean, that guy.
I think Jágr's been terrific. I think he was terrible in that first period, and they showed video to back up what Milbury was talking about. He was coasting everywhere.
Yeah, but he creates. I mean, he, you know, we all remember him for his scoring.
Yeah.
But he passes so well and sees the ice
mm-hmm.
so well.
Yeah, he's
it's
different.
A little frustrating because maybe he holds on to the puck a little long, but boy, he knows how to pass and find the open guy.
Yeah, I think his game has evolved since he was with Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You know, just because he's gotten older and he's had to adapt. You know, he's not as quick as he used to be, but he still sees
it. Soccer fans will know this reference, but he reminds me of Carlos Valderrama in his later years. So
the big guy with the wild hair.
Yeah, distributor.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah. So
you got to do that.
Our friends from across the pond in South America will appreciate that reference. All right, let's take a break. It is 12:57. We'll pay some bills, and we'll be right back.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had this dream. I was in this, it was sort of like a cafeteria setting with big glass windows, and a lot of people there were people that we worked with and like on the travel party. So we're looking, and there's this weather coming, and it's like dark clouds, and it turns into this tornado. So I'm like, everybody get away from the windows. We get away from the windows, and trees are coming down, but luckily nothing happened. So then that passes, and then we decide that, okay, dinner is coming soon, but a lot of us wanted to work out after dinner, so this cafeteria turns into a hotel. And now a lot of us have to go up in the elevator to get our gym stuff, because after we eat, we're going to work out. So we get in the elevator, and it's a bunch of people, and one of them's Gino, and Gino has no pants on, Gino Capoletti. and his unit is attached to his hip.
Hello.
And it was like,
hello.
It was like a weird deformity, like that no one ever knew about. But there it was. It's like, and my thoughts going through my mind was, how does he like explain that to women?
Why are you having dreams about Gino's unit?
Thanks, babe.
It was attached to his hip.
I don't care where it's attached. Why are you thinking about his unit?
I don't know. It was just a weird dream.
That was story time with Fred Kirsch.
Next week, you're going to tell Gino this story, right? Please.
No. And you better not bring it up either.
All right, back here in PFW in progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Sean says, hey, Freddie, I was on vacation last week fly fishing in Idaho. You're right, it's spectacular. Ooh, I'm jealous. Anyway, missed the week. Anything happened of note? Heard something about a third-string Jag quarterback. Yeah, they
cut Mike Kafka.
Right. Right.
When was the last time you went fly fishing?
Jeez, I don't know. Probably about 10 years ago.
Really?
Yeah. Up in New Hampshire, Vermont area, probably.
How come you don't go more often?
It's just, I don't like doing things if I can't do it right.
Why can't you do it right?
You just need to be in the right place and have all your gear ready. And
all right, Paul's got something to say.
You know, it's not something like you can go down to the local river and just fly fish.
I can't believe Andy hasn't chimed in. I can't. What did you say? I don't like doing things if I can't do it right?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And you host the show every, you know, twice a week.
Well, this show is what it is. But, you know, there's certain things like, you know, I don't buy clothes unless I can buy the right clothes. You know, I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
He says with his dress shirt untucked with his jeans.
Yeah. I don't, you know, and so. Like fly fishing,
unbuttoned
is,
halfway down.
I love fly fishing, but I just haven't had the, you know, time, money, whatever to do it the right way. You know.
All right.
You know, you wouldn't go to France on some fly by night package.
No, that's a good point. No,
you know,
you're right.
You want to do it right.
Exactly, you're right.
Or not waste your time and money.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yep.
I figure the kid goes away next year. You know, who knows? Maybe I'll have more time.
A little free time now?
And money to, you know, like last week, I spent the whole weekend at Harvard at lacrosse.
Mm-hmm.
This week, I'm going to Maryland. You know, those two.
For a lacrosse tournament?
Yeah, those are two weekends where, you know, maybe leave a little early on Friday, go up to the White River in Vermont.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, have you ever been to Idaho,
where
the guy was? Yeah.
I don't know exactly where he was.
But I mean, that's part of the country?
Yeah, I've fished in both northern and southern Idaho. And I fished in Colorado, and it's great. He's right. It's I tell you, I'm getting a little movement just thinking about it.
That's clean living.
Yep. Kyle writes in, webradio@patriots.com. Let me start by saying I hate Tebow. I'm an Ohio State alumni, and I was in school when we lost to Florida. I hated his press conference the following year when the Gators lost, and he took all the blame and promised it wouldn't happen again. Not surprised by it, though, because, after all, there definitely is an I in Tim. All that said, there is a win-win scenario for the Patriots. If he sucks, which I expect him to, we can all say, see, I told you, and if he doesn't, our beloved Patriots will benefit from his efforts. Lastly, the email on Thursday who questioned your journalistic integrity is a moron. This isn't CNN. It's a podcast for Patriots fans by Patriots fans. You are entitled to your opinion without facts. This is for entertainment purposes only. Additionally, Big Al is a retard who should be forever banned from the show. Thanks for all you do. I appreciate, even if no one else does. Well, I hope somebody appreciates it. Yeah, Big Al was... I don't know. He must have been drinking that day.
We've not heard from him since either.
No. He came in guns blazing.
He did a Perillo like zero to hot. And yep. Then we haven't heard from him. Hope he's okay.
I wonder if they got to him.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Felix in Houston says, yo, 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 what's going on? Gentlemen, scumbags, virgins, and scholars. Not saying who's who. Important thing on December 1st, the game versus Houston. I would love it if you three would come hang out at Lucky's Pub here in Houston, where the fan club meets every Sunday to watch the game. I hear Bob Kraft is making an appearance, but that's besides the fact. I would love to have a beer with y'all. Hope to see you guys, and I challenge Andy Hart to an arm wrestling contest.
Well, you're out of luck, because only Fred and I travel.
Right, but I might go to Lucky's.
Yeah.
Yeah, if that's the place where you guys gather the night before.
They have a big fan club in Houston.
Now, right? I won't be there on the day of the game. That's
no
out of the question, but maybe we could do a gathering the night before.
Yeah, it's possible.
Sure. People can buy me beer and food. I love that.
Houston's a big city.
It is. It's
I
like
mean,
an hour.
Spread
everything's
out.
An hour and a half.
Yeah, and you're in Houston.
Now, how do you get to the 7-Eleven? It's 90 minutes down the road. You know, around the corner is 90 minutes in Houston.
It's seriously. That's
it was
amazing.
City. We just drove around forever in Houston. Everything was 45 minutes minimum.
Yeah.
No matter where we had to go. We had to go to the stadium. We had to go to the convention center. We had to go to the hotel. It was always 45 minutes.
Yep. Let's see. Simon writes in, just want to know how important you feel the running game will be this season, given the overhaul the passing game has seen. It seems whenever we tried to run the ball against a decent run defense last season, such as the Rams, 49ers, Seahawks, we struggled. If we can get this sorted out, surely we're bound for another Super Bowl appearance.
Well, against the 49ers,
yeah,
they were behind by four touchdowns. They needed to throw the ball. You weren't going to be running very well. Against the Rams, they were up by
four touchdowns, so I didn't remember having any problems against them. I don't think that they run the ball very well when the other team is playing run. I've thought that for a long time, probably going back since like 04. You know, the Corey Dillon heyday when they could just line it up and still run it down your throat. I don't think that they've been able to do that very successfully since.
They haven't had a back like Dillon since.
But I also think, and you guys know this, I don't care. I think the running game is good enough. I think Ridley is a solid back. I think he's going to get you 1,200, 1,300 yards. I think he's going to get you around 10 or 12 touchdowns. As long as he holds on to the ball, which I think he did a better job of last year considering his touches. He still had some problems in that regard. But I think as long as you hold on to the ball and you offer it as a change of pace, I think that's fine. I think Shane Vereen is going to offer a better element, more dynamic element to that change of pace situation than you had with Woodhead. Now they're going to have to find a way. Vereen did a good job as a ball carrier. We'll see if Vereen can duplicate what Woodhead did as a receiver, because Woodhead caught about 40 passes, 30 or 40 passes, and Vereen, I think, had 8. So there's a big gap there.
I'm optimistic.
I think he's a better player than Woodhead.
Yeah.
I do. Now, he needs to stay healthy, and then he needs to prove it.
And I think he did some of those things at Cal.
He did it all at Cal.
Yeah.
But we saw it a lot in the spring, too. When Eric and Andy and I were out there for those practices, we saw a lot of Shane Vereen and Leon Washington involved in the passing game. So I think they can make up for that. I think the running game is fine. I don't know how you guys feel. I don't feel because the passing game figures to drop off a little bit. And I acknowledge that. It's not going to be as good as it was with Gronk 100% and with Welker 100%. I don't think that necessarily puts more pressure on the running game. I don't think that they need to say, we can't do this anymore, so we need to run the ball more. And I hope they don't look at it that way, because I think I know that this is anti-football, but I think the more you run, the less you win. I think you have to score, you have to throw the ball and score points in the NFL today.
Unless they somehow are able to get, you know, the kind of production out of the running game that they haven't been able to in the past.
I mean, they'll look
at one's working, if that's working and the other one isn't.
If they think running will work,
yeah,
they'll run.
They'll work, yeah.
No, well, that's what I'm saying, when the other team's not expecting run. I have no problem with running the ball.
Not even expecting, but if they see the personnel matchups and they say, we can beat this team on the ground, they'll do it, you know?
Yeah, I think that they will do that, but I don't think that's a good way to go about business. That's all.
I forget the exact stat, but I think at some point last year, the Patriots had, whenever they had rushed for 100 yards, they win.
Right.
So that's somewhat important, I think. If you're
and
looking,
a lot, I see, think that, and you have to look at those things, because a lot of that's because they opened them
exactly
up so much, because they're burning
exactly
them in the air, that you know they're pulling off chunks of 7, 8, 9 yards every time they run the ball. You know, you look at the amount of carries is what you want to do. How many times do they win when they run the ball over 25 times?
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's more of an indication.
Everybody would do that. Everybody would win. Yeah. I mean, if that's all it took to win, everybody would just say, I'm going to come out and run the ball the first 25 times. I'll win. You can't do that. You need to score points.
I know.
And then you score a lot of points in the passing game. That allows you to run, and that's an indication that you're playing with the lead, and it's an indication you can do Eric's thing and get the 100 yards, and you can do Fred's thing and get your 25 carries with – more than half of those coming in the fourth quarter, like they did, say, to the Jets last year, and have done that in the past at times. They did it, I think, a little bit to Denver with the turbo, the no huddle. They ran a lot by catching Denver out of position and stuff. I don't care how you do it.
Yeah.
Just do it.
When you're evaluating this stuff, you have to look at the game itself. You can't go by the stats.
I just think a lot of people still stick to those old traditions of, you know, well, you got to run to set up the pass, and
right,
you know, defense beats
no,
off.
Not anymore.
I don't really think the NFL is like that anymore.
No, it isn't. Josh from Tahiti, actually from Waterloo, Iowa, who says hello from Tahiti, says, guys, we're now in Tahiti and put a new pin in the map. Went on a tour this morning, and my wife was wearing a Patriots visor. The guy on the tour is from Bahrain and is a Patriots fan. We are everywhere. Wow, so there you go. Little travel news for Eric. You know, Patriots fans everywhere. Let's see. The most interesting Patriots fan in the world is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. What's going on, James?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Who are you going to insult today?
Yemi.
The French, I think. I hate the French.
I hate the French.
Yeah, well, I'm half French, so I really get to hate them.
You're a self-hating French.
Exactly that. My mother's French, so I've had to bear that for most of my life. No, I was just going to say, Yemi did make some good points when he slagged me off last show. I didn't defend myself as to why I hate Tebow, so... Maybe I'll do that now. It's just, you know,
maybe I'll do that now.
And, you know, hate is a strong word, so maybe I don't want to use hate and stuff like that. So I'll go easy on him in the future.
Meow.
But I would like to say, I hope you guys don't, like, disagree with me just because I used to buy lunch.
Oh, well, that's ridiculous.
No,
because if I disagree with you, I think you know, James.
No lunch for you. There's a reference for you, Fred.
But you also know, James, you know me well enough that I don't care who you are. If I disagree with you, I have no problem letting that everybody
know. Paul will have a fight with you no matter who
know.
You are.
Right. I do not hate Tebow the person. I've said that from day one.
It's interesting. So I used to live in the Philippines, and I think I've got negative feeling just because I've seen, you know, in the Philippines some of the impact that sort of these charities do in... You know, it's difficult. When you go to the Philippines, there's a lot of poverty. You stop at traffic lights. You just swamp with kids and stuff like that. And I think some of these, you know, Christian charities that are out there, I understand birth control is a contentious issue. And actually, in the Philippines, it's going through the high courts at the moment, and they're passing a law. So maybe I have a hang-up for, you know, they do encourage people not to use birth control. It's a massive cycle of poverty in the Philippines and stuff like that. Now, is Tim Tebow responsible for that wholly? Absolutely not, but I do think he puts himself out there as a figurehead, so maybe I've got slightly negative connotations towards it like that.
And that's fair enough.
There are reasons behind it. I wasn't just saying it outlandish and things like that, you know. And on another note, you know, I'm a war profiteer. I'm pretty low on the totem pole to make moral judgments about horrible people. So, you know, if there is a God in the heaven, Tim Tebow certainly is more ahead in the line than I will ever be.
All right. But, you know,
all right, I'll leave it there.
We love you. You're going to our heaven.
I don't think I want to be there, man.
It's
Patriots paradise.
Very good. As long as I wake up next to you every morning, Fred, I'll know it's heaven.
All right.
Oh, boy. Just don't have any dreams about units on hips.
Thanks, James.
All right. James Pettigrew continuing to be the most interesting Patriots fan in the world. Now we know he used to live in the Philippines. So it's always something with him.
He's been all around the world.
Right. Jamie's in Houston. Hey, Jamie.
What's up, guys?
How you doing?
I'm good. I got some bright sides to the Tim Tebow equation. Number one, I'd rather have him than Mark Sanchez.
Okay.
And let's see. Number two, now we have God's two favorite quarterbacks on the same team. That's a good thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
I'm still weighing that Sanchez one. I think that's a 6-5 pick 'em. I'm not sure that's a
better option. If I wanted a legitimate backup for Brady and I had to pick between Tebow and Sanchez, I'd pick Sanchez. Yeah. I wouldn't even blame
you. You want to go with the whole coaching?
Right.
Like you think, you know, that there's some talent for Sanchez and it's about coaching and development, then if you're going to make that argument for Tebow, you should be able to make it for Sanchez.
That's right.
I don't want either one of them.
No. At least Tebow can win a playoff game anyway.
Well, Sanchez. Sanchez won more than Tebow. Championships.
Yeah, mental toughness.
Okay.
Sanchez came into this stadium and beat the Patriots. Tebow came into this stadium and wet himself in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as we're gonna compare resumes.
All right, touche. There you go. Good for you.
See, we like you, Jamie, but we'll
see.
Disagree.
James, you listen. I don't care. I love Jamie in Houston, but you know, I disagreed with him. So
yeah, there you go. And you know, I'm good with that. So I have like one and a half reasons then. and then let me just ask, where is Edelman in the mix this year in training camp? You know, I don't have any illusions that he's going to be a viable, like, you know, number three receiver, you know, full time. But how is he doing in camp? And what do you think the plans? Is he just basically going to be
camp.
A specialist?
Well, he's not in camp. He's been hurt.
Yeah, he's still. But you know what? If assuming that his foot gets better for the season, I don't see why he shouldn't be thought of as a third receiver.
Well, I think whenever he's healthy, he'll be the third receiver, I think. But the last thing that Jamie said is, you know, as long as he's healthy, you can only rely on that for a certain amount of time.
I think he's fighting for a job.
I think he'll
on
be.
This team,
see, honestly. I think he'll be the third guy, and
he might be by default going in, but I think he's gonna. I think he needs to maintain that. I don't think he can take it for granted, because I don't think they would have waited so long to re-sign him. And when they did re-sign him, it was for 1 year with no guaranteed money.
Well, they might have had an offer on the table, and it's Edelman's camp that might have delayed it.
I don't think so.
No? You don't think that he was shopping himself around?
Well, he did. He went
might,
to the Giants.
He might have, but he only got one other taker, and that
he
was
went to
the
Giants. Giants just before he signed for little to no money for the Patriots.
Yeah.
So that tells you whatever other people were offering.
No, I'm saying.
Nothing.
But it's not so much the Patriots waited. They had a deal. They thought it was low, and they waited to see if they could get
Eric's,
something better.
But Eric's point is that he's not expecting much out of Edelman because he doesn't think that he is worthy of being relied upon, I guess, is the, you know.
Well, I think he's a very good punt returner. I think he's one of the better punt returners in the league, but I don't know if that's going to be enough for him to earn a job.
I think that's why he's the forgotten man when we talk about the offensive equation, because you can't rely on him. I think that.
Well, I also don't think that he's ever been a part of the offense, so I don't think he's a forgotten man. He's never really been part of the offense.
He started to emerge before he got hurt last year.
No, I know, but he's never really been a part of the offense.
You're right.
Not like people forgetting about Gronk because he's hurt now.
No, I know.
You know,
I know,
when he's healthy, he's an enormous part of the offense. When Edelman's healthy, he's a complimentary piece at best. At best.
Mm. Wasn't complimentary in that Jets game.
Sure he was.
He was really good.
What did he catch, two passes?
Yeah. And a couple of plays on offense.
And
that's what I think he can be that. Yeah. He's a complimentary part of the offense. Huh? Special teams is an offense, Fred.
But
he's a great punt returner.
He's part of the team.
But he's a great punt returner. That's not.
He's good in space. I mean, if they can create opportunities for him to get the ball in space, whether it's special teams or, you know, out as a swing back catching something, I think he's crafty.
He's a good run after catch guy, Jamie. I'm with you, and I think he might be. He might have to be a part of this offense because I don't think they're going to have a lot of options that are any better than him.
Yeah, they got to find a lot more different ways to win, like you've said before. And then switching tracks totally. Bruins talk. I've tweeted you from time to time in the past on the last run. I think we've got, you mentioned Jager. having a Pittsburgh Penguin or former Penguin on the roster for Stanley Cup runs has worked out well for us. We had Recchi. Mark Recchi with yep. his F-bomb kissing the cup. I thought that was classic. And I hope Jágr can help us hoist the cup. I think they're on their way. And go Bruins, go Pats, and take care, guys.
Go all Bruins.
Right. Jamie from Houston.
We'll see you in the fall.
I think it's interesting how many, and I know that a lot of the guys that are outside of market are originally from Boston or the Boston area. But I think it's interesting, like, you know, Jamie in Houston, he's watching the Bruins too, you know? Like,
yeah.
I just think it's funny, you know?
Yeah. Sam in Chicago writes in, happy to hear you'll be providing some game day analysis with the new format described in Mike Reese's ESPN Boston blog post. Quote, the broadcast will be a talk radio type program without the yelling and screaming and the agenda driven stuff. Matt Smith, the executive producer of Kraft Sports Productions, tells Finn, surely they're not referring to PFW radio? Anyways, can this mesmerizing idea of a split screen with Andy and Paul talking about actual live gameplay, just preseason, only be seen in the greater Boston area? Will BZ or Patriots.com stream this ingenious engagement of conversation and analytics and insight for your out-of-town fans? Yes, that is the plan. We're going to stream it live on Patriots.com, so you will be able to watch it. And, you know,
do the people out of market, some of them I would imagine get to watch the local feed, right? Like satellite dish and whatnot?
Yeah, I guess.
DirecTV?
It depends. I'm not sure how that works.
And what I don't know, and that what Andy and I are really interested in, you know how NFL Network picks up all of the games.
They
NFL Network broadcasts every preseason game at some point. Now, obviously, they're not all live. I wonder if they'll take our feed for some of the games, and then if that means Andy and I will be part of the broadcast on NFL Network. Wait a minute. You put the – no, next time we're taking the other teams.
And I had this discussion with you yesterday, Paul, about this. I worry, though, because, you know, this article was written by Chad Finn. That was the source.
In the Boston Globe. It was the Boston Globe story.
Yeah, the Reese
we should credit
used
that.
It, you know, and he based it
– repurposed it.
Yeah, he based it on the Chad Finn thing. When they say it's going to be talk radio type, it's not going to be like taking calls from fans during the game.
No, and it didn't say that in the story.
But when people think talk radio, I think that's what they think.
Okay. I think people talking.
It's going to be the
game. I think this.
You know, if you're turning on the preseason game to see what happens live during, you're going to see that. It's just we're going to add an element to it. We're not going to take away the play-by-play.
And Andy and I are not going to be a huge part. I don't want to oversell this. I think people might be thinking the wrong thing. Andy and I are just going to be a part of the broadcast. They're going to throw to us maybe a couple of times per quarter if it works well. And we might, the announcers are going to be Dan Roach and Christian Fourier. And instead of, you know, setting up every play, you know, second and seven from the Patriots 34, Amendola is in the slot to the right. They're not going to set up every single play, knowing that the importance of such detail in a preseason game isn't that great.
Especially in the third and fourth quarter.
People are looking more at roster decisions, camp competition, stuff like that. So what Dan and Christian are probably going to do is start talking about something that might spur them to throw a question our way, and Andy and I will be in our radio studio right where we are right now, and we'll be sort of offering our opinions of what we've seen every day at training camp in practice. Well, you know, it's interesting you brought up Edelman. Eric talked about Edelman being a guy who's in trouble, you know, to make a roster spot. Maybe we talk about that for a minute while a play is going on. Because what actually happens on every play, you'll see every play. It's not like they're going to show to us and you're going to miss three plays and they're going to, you know, oh, while you're away, the Patriots had to punt. That's not what's going to happen.
It's not going to be like the draft where
catch
you up.
We may be talking as a play is going on, but hopefully we can sort of come in and out in between plays with some quick hitter stuff, you know, kind of like what Eric just said. Eric, you mentioned you think Edelman's going to be in for a roster fight.
Yeah.
We might talk about that. That might be something that's a topic that night.
Right.
Like you said, Freddie, in the third quarter.
Right.
You know, when some of the other lesser-known guys are out there, we might talk about something like that. Or, you know, who's really stepped up in year two is Dante Hightower. Boy, has he been impressive in camp. You should have seen the play he made on Tuesday during a 7-on-7 or whatever.
Yeah, because you know,
that's the stuff the announcers don't see. The announcers don't go to training
camp
practice every day.
Right, and you can't put it in context how well a guy's doing based on in a game, based on how he has performed in practice.
And a lot of this is based on the feedback we've gotten from this show.
Right.
I mean, people have said the preseason games with, you know, Randy Cross and Don Crickey, as good as they are, they don't know this team. And in preseason, you get guys that they're not going to make the team. You know, they're not the well-known names to someone who's not here every day. So the broadcast becomes really bad, you know, frankly, toward the, you know, in some of these games, like the fourth preseason game and so on.
And it's not their fault. It's just,
not their
fault. There's 90 guys,
right,
and they just don't know them all. And
right.
Listen, we don't know them all.
And
we're here every day.
Right, and what their situation is, and how does it relate to the rest of the team, and you know,
so that's what we're going to try to add, and we'll probably take some stuff with social media. We'll probably have some tweets going on. Someone might bring up a topic that we think is worth delving into a little bit. Maybe we spend some time with that. We're also going to have a sideline reporter who we don't know who that is yet, but that, you know, they'll be able to chime in from the sideline, kind of tell us a little bit about what's going on, the way Zoe used to do before he was the full-time radio guy. So. We're going to try to incorporate a little bit more of this sort of Patriots talk.
Right.
And that's where the talk radio comes in. It's Patriots talk. It's not, you know, we're going to take a call right now from Joe and Sharon, who's going to let us know why he thinks Jeff Tarpinian should be starting at inside linebacker. That's not what we're going to be doing.
Right. So it's interesting. We're going to try it and see how it goes. I'm very excited about it. I'm hopeful. I think people are going to like it. And like Paul said, you're going to get every play. We're not taking away, you know, anything from someone who just wants to see every play. You're going to see every play. Alex from Philly writes in, I'm really starting to get concerned about the offense. The rookie wide receivers have been hurt, not to mention the tight ends and the old vets that they brought in, like Jenkins. They've stunk aside from Amendola. I know it's early and we have a long way to go, and I have faith that the offense will produce, but I just don't see where the production is going to come from. Speaking of faith, I'm not going to jump on Big Al for his comments last week, as I'm sure he only said that to impress some hot co-ed who was a Tebow fan. However,
nice. That's a great reason.
I will say this. Anyone who thinks that taking Tom Brady off the field for any reason whatsoever and replacing him with Tim Tebow will put us in a better position to score is an idiot. Also, I think fans are being disingenuous when they say that they are tired of Tebow talk. I hate Tebow as a player and a person, because I believe he's a fraud in both areas. But I love Tebow talk. I never tire of arguing with Tebow files that are trying to convince me of what a unique and valuable asset a quarterback who can't throw can be. Tebow is a lost cause, and about 99% of the league realize that. But Bill wants to prove that he is smarter than everyone else and try his hand at the impossible task of teaching Tebow how to throw a football. Good luck with that. However, it's not all bad. I do have one pro for you, Fred. In the immortal words of Reverend Ray Lewis, if God is with you, who can be against you? So, there you go.
First time I heard him in my ear, I did not hear a sound.
There's nothing else to do, Sal.
Sam in Chicago.
That might have been the best one.
Sam in Chicago is saying, Kevin, at least learn a few simple French phrases. Hello, how are you? Good morning, good night. The smallest display of effort goes a long way.
Absolutely right.
So.
Well, bonjour is hello, right?
Bonjour.
Not bonjour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bonjour.
It's not bonjour.
I know. I know.
Talk like Julia Child.
No, bon nuit is good night.
Bon nuit.
Bon nuit. Well, I thought it was bonsoir.
Bonsoir is more like good evening.
Yeah.
Soiree is like the whole night. Bon nuit means actually night.
So I'm trying to learn.
But
si vous plaît, please,
bon, but right. if you want to say good night in France, say bonsoir.
Bonsoir.
Yeah.
Okay. See, I will try to learn, and I will do the best I can.
And don't be afraid to show that you're American.
Yeah. No, I won't be. Trust me.
Well,
I have all my.
You
American
don't have to go around wearing
t-shirts,
a Canada patch.
And all that stuff,
do you think that was going to fool anybody?
And you can only hope that if you pick up a girl and you go to bed with her and she sees you
like
naked,
that,
she goes bon oui oui.
Where'd you learn that on the internet? When the guy comes up, bonjour.
Bonjour.
That's going to be Kevin walking around France with his little fanny pack.
Ninja Turtles fanny pack.
That is
he's a great. He's a French model. Yeah, I met him on the internet.
Bonjour. No, I got my American flag bandana to protect my bald head and all that stuff. I'll be fine.
Gary's upset at Andy. He says, tell that a-hole Andy he better get on his knees and bow his head in reverence when he speaks of Tebow.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
He'll be on his knees, but he won't be praying.
Wow.
Andy is very strange to me in this whole
yes,
Tebow
he is.
Thing.
Oh, just in Justin Tebow?
No. But in this Tebow thing,
he has no problem with them getting him. But he'll have a problem with him if he makes the team.
He has no problem with the signing. But if we get up to the point where, you know, he's still here at the 53, he'll have a problem. And then if he's on the active roster of 46 on game day, he'll have an even bigger problem. And if he gets on the field, it'll be a real big problem. Like, I don't understand that.
Right.
I don't get that.
Right. So that means you have a problem with the signing.
Right. I understand that you sign guys and you sort of know, all right, we need X number of wide receivers for training camp. We need X number of defensive backs for training camp. This guy has very little shot of making our team. And we just need him in here for camp fodder. That's not what they signed Tim Tebow for. They didn't just sign him for camp fodder.
My reaction will be, if he makes the 45-man roster, I'll be like, son of a bitch, they're going to use the guy. I'll be surprised, but
now,
I'll
what
be interested.
What will you be? I threw out one early in the show. Here's another one. How will you react if he's one of the 46 guys, and Mallett isn't? Mallett is inactive, but Tebow is active.
I'll be even more shocked.
But how will you feel about it? Forget shock.
Yeah, I'll be.
Will you be happy with that or sad about that? Angry.
Here's how I will rationalize that in my mind. If Brady goes down, we're screwed anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Well put.
Unbelievable. He even in the hypothetical, he can't question a move. even in a hypothetical, you can't say, well, that would be ridiculous. Because you know why? It might happen.
All three could be active.
He doesn't want me and Andy to be throwing it back in his face.
All three could be active.
True.
No, but
that wouldn't be, to me, if they deactivate one of them, even if you're saying
Mallett is the backup, you could say he's inactive and Tebow is going to be number two because I'm going to put him out there for my social experiment. With the Duke brothers have a social experiment that he can play H-back or something. But if something happens, I could always put him in at quarterback. And then the next week, Mallett's going to be the starter. But
right.
I'm rolling the dice that nothing's going to happen during the course of the game.
Right.
I think that would be sort of reckless. But if all three of them are active, then there's nothing reckless about that.
Right.
More than likely, it's a product of the health of the rest of the inactives are probably all hurt.
Yeah. Let's see. Yummy in Texas, I have two 2020 hindsight questions. One, was it a bad thing for Mallett that he got drafted by the Patriots? If he went to another team, he probably would have played by now. The situation could turn out well for him if an Aaron Rodgers / Favre situation happens.
He's nowhere near as good as Aaron Rodgers.
No.
And won't ever be.
I don't think it was a bad thing for him to get taken by the Patriots, by the way. No, I think, first of all, I happen to think a lot of Bill Belichick's ability to develop young guys. And I think that with Brady, I think at least you get a chance. Even if Brady is not the best in terms of being a mentor, you get to see the way Brady does things, you know? And that's not a bad thing. I think you can learn a lot just by watching.
Sure.
I think that was good for Mallett. I disagree also with the notion of there's a lot of good quarterbacks in football. I think that's sort of another thing that gets glossed over. I think most teams have a quarterback that they wouldn't want Ryan Mallett instead of. I mean, how many teams out there would say, if we had Ryan Mallett, there'd be a legitimate competition? I mean, Cleveland, probably. Oakland.
Jacksonville.
I mean, there's a handful of teams that...
Buffalo.
Buffalo. There's a handful of teams that there would be a legitimate competition that Mallett would be in the running for the starting quarterback. There ain't too many.
Yeah.
There's probably 20 to 25 that it wouldn't be a... Mallett wouldn't be in the competition.
Yeah. What's the second thing he has, 2020 hindsight question, was it a bad thing that the Patriots blew out the Texans in the playoffs? I was concerned after the game because there was a chance for a letdown in the next game. It is difficult to have that kind of performance in back-to-back weeks.
I think they played well against Houston. I think Houston helped them a little bit, but I thought they played very well against Houston, and I'll take my shot with my team playing well in the playoffs.
And they didn't have Gronk afterwards.
It's huge. Although Fred said it was no big deal.
Travis in Collierville, Tennessee. My wife and I are planning on going to a game this year, and I recently saw the post that the NFL will no longer allow anyone to bring in a purse or bag into a stadium unless it's clear vinyl with specific dimensions or a gallon Ziploc bag. After trying to find something that fits the dimensions online for my wife, I'm at a loss. The Pats weren't even offering anything at the pro shop. It's bad enough I'll be traveling on a plane for the first time with my two kids. Now I have to worry about the TSA taking over security for the NFL. And if you have the wrong bag, they're going to turn you away. Really convenient if you're coming in on the train, as we'll be doing. Thank you, NFL, for taking a dump on the fan experience.
Hmm. Interesting.
I would imagine the pro shop will eventually have those types of bags available.
So. I was just automatically assuming that this was going to be one of those that one hand washes the other, and all of a sudden the only bag that you could find anywhere that fit those specifications
is at the pro shop.
Was available in all 32 teams' pro shops.
I know that there's a lot of money grabs by the NFL, and you should always be dubious of things that they do. This is not a revenue thing. This is now you can call it an overreach for safety. If anything, that's what it is, but it's not. Oh, here's a way to make more money.
How many bags, out of curiosity, and I don't know if you talk about this, the data, when you're at those meetings, Fred, when these kinds of things are discussed, how many bags, what percentage of fans take a bag into the
game? Well, that's the other thing. Really? Are you bringing big bags into the stadium?
Well, see, I would never even think about it, but the guy raises a good point. He's taking the train in.
Right.
So that is a little different, I think. You know, maybe he has, you know, it's easy for me to say, well, I would tailgate at the game, and I'm bringing my car, and I have all my stuff in the car, and when I get done with that and I go into the stadium, I'm just bringing myself with my ticket.
Yep.
But if he has little kids, maybe
and
he
you're
has
taking
to
the
have...
train in, you got to take stuff to, you know,
that's
to
a
eat.
Yeah.
You know, it's a long day at the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Well, the train.
You gave me one of those little. The train I thought it was Joey the Nose sign.
the train drops you off an hour before the game. You go in, you eat, and it leaves an hour after the game.
That's the earliest you can get to a game by train is an hour before?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you should be able to get by without a bag then.
You know, and...
just leave it out by the train. I'm sure it'll be there when you get back.
You can wear as many, you know, if it's cold out, you can wear as many coats as you want and with pockets and things like that. And you can still bring in a clear...
Patriots concerned about return date, it says.
Return date. Okay. But we're talking about Gronkowski. We'll have to get more information about what Schefter's reporting. Maybe one of our listeners can tell us exactly what Schefter is.
I'm sure it's just a generic report that he's having surgery today, and they don't know when he's going to be back.
Yeah. Right. They don't know.
They just don't
know. They just don't know.
So you don't think there's too many people that take bags in?
I think a lot of people do, like handbags and stuff. And by the way, women will still be allowed to bring in what they call a clutch, I guess, you know, like the size of a bag, the size of the hand doesn't have to be clear plastic. You know, but
the size of the hand.
Yeah, but why would you?
To a wedding?
I mean, why would you? If you can fit it in your hand, you know, put it in pockets.
Yeah, if you could fit it in your hand, yeah, just put it in a pocket.
So
I'm not the right person to ask because I never would take a bag.
And by the way, this isn't a Patriots rule. This is an NFL league rule. But
that's why I felt comfortable ripping it.
Yeah. I mean, it might be an overreach. It, you know, in terms of the safety. And we all know why they did it. It's because of the marathon bombers.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But, I don't know.
Do they not inspect bags anymore?
They do inspect bags.
Wouldn't that sort of alleviate the problem?
Yeah, but what if someone...
the problem?
What if someone would bring, you know... let's just say that one of the Boston Marathon bombers had a checkpoint that he had to have his bag checked.
Right. You leave it there.
What's going to stop him?
Right.
He just puts the bag up there and runs. Bang.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I suppose it could still happen.
Sure, I mean, it could still happen, even with a clear bag.
Well,
but
I don't know if included in this is like a perimeter that they're going to expand. So even beyond that perimeter, you can't bring a bag in. So even before you get to the ticket aisle, they're not allowing bags.
I do think it is one of those things. You called it an overreach, Fred, and I think that's a good word for it. I think that sometimes, not to get all philosophical, There's dangerous things that happen. And some of them you just can't really do anything about. You know what I mean? I mean, what do you do to eliminate the possibility that something bad could happen? I mean, you can't check every single person everywhere that you go.
That's one of the prices of freedom.
That's right.
You know? Trevi writes in, "What's up, guys? I was just wondering, can you guys see a lineup of Aaron Dobson and Josh Boyce on the outside and Amendola running the slot plus the tight ends, and could that be effective? I think it can create some problems for the defense. Dobson can stretch the field. Boyce can be good with his speed. Amendola takes Welker's place in the slot. And the tight ends just straight up dominate as usual. And the running game is going to help. The offense might be better than last year. Thanks. Keep up the great work. Love from Connecticut.
You could see that maybe in December if Gronk is back and healthy, if Hernandez remains healthy, and if Boyce and Dobson are able to live up to their rookie potential, which the Patriots don't have a very good history of doing with receivers. A
lot of ifs. I also don't think Boyce is going to be an outside guy. I think he's going to be a slot guy. But we haven't seen any of Boyce yet.
Of Dobson.
Yeah, any real talk about those guys is premature because we just haven't seen it. But Andy talked to his college coach, Gary Patterson, at TCU and said, we used him in both, but he's a slot guy.
Let's say this is Rodolfo. Let's say Gronk starts the season on the 53-man roster and he misses the first four games. He won't be available against Atlanta, a tough game where we need him. We might make it without him against the Bengals and most likely against the Saints. I prefer that he starts the season on the PUP list and be available for Week 7, even Week 8, because Week 7 is against the Jets, and save him completely healthy for the second half of the season and the playoffs. I think that's what you guys
would
agree.
That's what Eric and I want, the PUP. But PUP. I would settle for that. I would say, you know, he's good enough to me that it's worth it to say I'm going to go without a guy on the roster for 4 weeks on the chance that he might be able to play Week 5 and Week 6 instead of PUP where I can't have him for all six. He's a good enough player that he's worth that. So if they did something like that, you know, I know he's going to miss 3-4 games, but I don't know if he's going to have to miss all six. I wouldn't have any problem with that. As long as they wait until he's 100% before they get him back out there, because I just think that, A, he's too important of a guy, and B, the competition isn't strong enough that every single game matters. And you know what I mean by that. I have quotes around matters. Understanding there's only 16 games. You can't throw them away. But like last year, you know, they're showing highlights of Gronk on ESPN as they were talking about that. They're showing highlights of the Arizona game. I mean, they lost at home in Week 2 to Arizona last year. It was a loss that none of us saw coming.
With Gronk, by the way.
You know, none of us thought there was any chance they could lose the game. But in the grand scheme of things, what did it matter? Right. They might lose a game or two that they shouldn't lose. But I don't think it's going to matter. I think at the end of the day, they're still going to have about 12 wins. They're still going to win the AFC East. And what happens in the playoffs is the only thing that really matters. So make sure that you have your team as best situated for that. And I know it's a cavalier way of looking at it. I totally, if people in Miami and Buffalo and New York were listening to us, they'd be like, wow, what a bunch of arrogant SOBs. You'd think that they invented football.
Well, they'd be right on both on both cases. Cliff in Bama says, so going off the offseason, I was hopeful we would get our exciting deep threat and it'd be Wallace or whoever. But now what I have is Paul's, this is not the worst group of receivers Brady's worked with. keeping with that theme.
Yeah, I guess I didn't think of it that way. But
keeping
the
way with that theme, McCurdy might have slipped, but he's not Hobbs. And at least Gregory is not Sergio Brown. I wish I could say that even if our offense isn't prolific, the team is strong all around and the defense will keep us in games. I totally agree with Paul that the offense will be okay, but I don't know if it will be okay enough to carry the team.
That's Andy's point. He thinks that if you slip enough in offense, is your defense good enough to make sure you win the games? And that's a legit concern. I think the defense is going to be a little better. And I also don't think the offense is going to be as bad as people are predicting.
John in New Brunswick says, love the show. I learned lots about football. Love the bits in the past on Eric's trip to France, the discussion on Jeff Demps, even the discussion on Fred's dry balls in slotted soap. But this show is about the Patriots, not Tim Tebow. This Tim Tebow talk is starting to border on absurd. That being said, here is all I will ever write about Tebow. See, No one else can talk about him.
But I'm going to
give him.
Here's
the last word.
Right. Okay, so I'll give John
let John.
One, as black and white as Andy is, I think your objectivity is refreshing, and I welcome how you call everyone to task about how they are supposedly changed when they bask in the glow that is Tebow. Two, I have no issue about Tebow the guy. He may or may not be a good guy, but what about someone like Zoltán Mezco? He spends a lot of time giving back and doing really good things for people in need. Look no further than Zoli Oki. If we want to talk about players with character, let's give equal billing to others. And three, I have picked up from listening to the show that Eric is a religious person, but he doesn't spend the show thanking God publicly. Okay, maybe he does when Andy's not there. Whatever your beliefs are, I don't understand why you need to grandstand your religion. Anyway, I got to stop there as I would like you to get back to more serious things like what the up-and-coming season will be like, where the issues and opportunities for the D-line and O-line and sometimes less important things like the summer party at Fred's estate. So,
I like that, estate, Fred's estate.
Yeah, yeah, it is an estate.
Yeah. I have to take out. I have to take off all of next week just to get ready for it.
Really?
Are you really taking
the whole week off?
I'm off next week.
Oh, oh, for God's sakes.
You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah.
That's all right. I might be coming and going myself. I got to take some days off.
Yeah. Here. Andy was like, you know, he's like, you know, is it all right if I take the rest of the week off? This is yesterday. Mm. I go, yeah. I go, did you talk to Paul? He goes, yeah, Paul's fine with it. I said, okay, well, you know, I just didn't know with the short notice. He goes, well, you know, anyone who doesn't take the days off is a sucker. You know, and I had a laugh because, you know, if you don't take the your allotted vacation days, you are a sucker because they don't roll over.
They don't.
Well, you don't have to make fun of me every single year.
I never do.
But the thing that
I'm a sucker.
I am too. But the thing I always say, and you can make fun of me for being a suck up, is anytime I've ever needed a day off, I've told you I'm not coming in tomorrow, and you've never said anything.
Right.
So whether or not it rolled over or not, I never worry about it because when I need the time off, I get it. You know, the kids are sick or something, and I need a day or whatever, I get it.
A lot of high hopes for this Make Your Own Sunday bar.
Oh, well, you should. It's going to be good.
I told you, TJ is...
it will live up
TJ's
to expectations.
TJ's asking a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Who's, my youngest.
Who's providing the ingredients for the Make
caterer.
Your Sunday? The caterer is going to do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
What was this?
The caterer.
Fred put his arm out as if he was...
as if he were delivering
garçon.
Something. Yeah.
Aaron Salkin is bringing his son, his old, and he said that whenever he drinks beer in front of him, he goes, oh, Dad, is that the daddy juice?
Oh, jeez. So. Did he show you a picture?
Yeah.
Now, that's the upside. If he brings the kids, we won't have to see pictures.
Now, if Andy was here and I said that, that would have led to,
yeah, right.
Daddy juice.
Daddy juice.
Yes, it would have.
Let's see. Jeevan from Vancouver writes in. ESPN Boston, specifically Mike Reese, had Kendrell Hawkins ranked
higher than Tompkins.
Why did I say Hawkins? I'm looking at it. It says Tompkins, and I
said
Hawkins.
It's Lavelle Hawkins.
Lavelle Hawkins.
Right. Kembrell Tompkins.
Kembrell
I get them mixed
Tompkins
up all the time.
Ranked higher than Dobson, Boyce, Aiken, and Jones. Have you seen anything special out of Tompkins, or
Dobson,
is it just based
Boyce,
on injuries?
Aiken, and Jones.
Well, Dobson and Boyce.
It's based on injuries.
Because
three of those guys, Jones, Boyce, and the other Dobson have all been out.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Aiken was the only one out of those guys that was actually on the field with Tompkins.
Right.
Also, last week, you guys were talking about how beautiful Toronto is. Toronto is a dump compared to Vancouver. Vancouver has consistently ranked in the top cities in the world. Yeah.
You know, when it's not on fire after the Bruins beat them in the Stanley Cup.
Oh, I think in terms of beauty, it's on the coast and everything. It is. But in terms of being like a cosmopolitan city and having everything that you would expect. Toronto's up there.
I've never been to Toronto.
Yeah.
You've been to Vancouver?
Briefly.
Oh, yeah?
Very, very briefly.
I've never been to either, but I agree with
you.
Not
enough to really know
the
city at
all. I've heard that Toronto has made strides over the years. They're becoming more of a place that people want to go to and live in. But I think the emailer is right. I mean, Vancouver is one of the top cities in the world as far as
just
aesthetics things to do. And,
that whole area, like, I know Vancouver's Canada, but like the Pacific Northwest for the U.S. is, I mean, my drive across
the rain, though.
My drive across the country, that was one of the best parts in terms of the aesthetics, was going back and forth between Oregon and Washington.
I didn't know you did that,
over the Columbia River.
Learning all the kinds of things about him today.
Yeah. Well, because some of us don't have to necessarily, brag about
the
cosmopolitan ways that
we
have.
There we go.
No, in the early 90s, I took a drive across the country. Back from starting in Portland, coming all the way through. I hit Idaho.
Just the northern part of the country?
I was in Donnelly, Idaho.
Did you dip down?
We didn't dip down that far. We went from Portland through, like, right down the middle. We went Portland, Idaho, Salt Lake City, Denver, then, like, the strict middle states, Nebraska. I think we stopped in Omaha.
A lot of flatness over there, huh?
Yeah.
A lot of cornfields.
And I don't know if you remember, there was a lot of flooding in the
mid-90s.
It was unbelievable how much water there was on the side of, major interstates. right down the middle of the country. There was unbelievable flooding in, like, Des Moines, Omaha, and those middle states.
There's some beautiful things out there. One place I haven't fished is Montana, in Wyoming. I'd love to fish in those two places.
Whitefish? Is that a big Whitefish, Montana?
Henry, who's Henry, who's from Whitefish, Montana.
No,
he writes into the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But no, yeah, they get the trout.
They get the trout.
Yeah,
the trout.
And I'd like to go salmon fishing. You know,
they got the salmon
up in,
too.
Canada. That's unbelievable too. Never done that.
With the grizzlies.
Yeah, never done that. I'll tell you, there's nothing like fly fishing.
You got to do it now.
Yeah,
Fred.
I know.
It's like 10 years now.
Yeah, well,
on the radio.
I will. Hopefully, I'm going to live.
Why don't you do it
longer
next week when you leave us?
You know. No,
so does this mean
he's
that
got that party to get ready for?
I won't be back from Maryland until Tuesday night.
So that means we're going to have some boring shows next week.
Well, Andy will be back.
But you won't be here.
Yeah, you and Andy can go at it.
Andy will be cackling like a schoolgirl.
Yeah.
Well, without me here, maybe you won't even be on the air. So
that's true.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Okay, we got that going for us.
Or maybe we'll be on the air
Or maybe we'll just have a monkey press a button and we'll be on the air.
Right. Strippers writes in.
Didn't like that.
He says, Shane Vereen is the top sleeper in fantasy football in Evan Silva's list of top sleepers for fantasy football. And that sounds
brilliant.
And that sounds good to me. I don't know who Evan Silva is.
I do know.
Know what fantasy football is.
I do know who Evan Silva is. I think he's pretty good. I don't necessarily know about fantasy football.
Yeah.
You don't know from fantasy football?
I don't know from
fantasy
football.
Do you think that
football. All I know Vereen is I was in one league and won it, 1-0.
Do you think Vereen could have the type of fantasy numbers that would put him in that list?
I don't know, like I said,
I don't know enough about
football.
Well, scoring
football.
Points and yards and all that stuff.
I mean, what would make him a good sleeper? 5 touchdowns? I could see him doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, would he have to score like 13 touchdowns to be worthy of a fantasy sleeper?
Right.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know the fantasy aspects. I think he will be a relevant part of the Patriots offense. What that translates to in terms of fantasy points, I have no idea. But I could see him getting, you know, 300 or 400 yards rushing and another 300 or 400 yards receiving and 5-6 touchdowns. I could see that.
Chris writes in, speaking of sleepers, do you guys have any sleeper players you believe are going to explode beyond their projected roles this year? Mine is Leon Washington. I can see him contributing a lot more than expected in the running back position.
Yeah, I don't see that. I don't see that. I think that Vereen is going to be the guy that's going to get that kind of production
but
from the running back.
Anybody unexpected that you think might explode? And again, Andy would be...
Yeah. That's what she said. I haven't really given
unexpected
much thought.
Jake Beckett, for example.
I'd
be a good pick, but
yeah.
I don't know if I expect him to do
I
that.
I don't expect him
Jamie
to do
Collins.
That. Well, you kind of
I'm expecting
expect
him
to do
him
something.
To explode.
Well, not explode,
no,
but,
I
to contribute.
To have a role.
Yeah. I'd like to see Jake Beckett contribute based on what he did in college.
Yeah.
I'd like, you know, to think that they didn't waste a third-round pick on another third-round pick on a
Tommy
player.
Tommy Kelly.
Well, but he's got a resume
okay.
on which to stand.
Yeah, I can't really. I mean, it's got to be. It's a matter to me of picking the receiver that ends up catching 60 balls that you don't know which one it is.
I'd be surprised if Michael Jenkins exploded this year, based on what he's done in the past.
I don't
but
know.
I
maybe
really,
Donald Jones is a guy that I was sort of higher on than most people, but then I didn't get to see him do much in the spring. He wasn't on the field very much.
Right.
I don't know if he could get cut before camp starts.
You got to expect them to have numbers during training camp, right?
Numbers?
Numbers.
I don't expect
jersey numbers.
No, I expect the worst.
I would expect it for the lone reason that
we
open it up to the fans.
Right.
And I think that's really disrespectful.
You really think Bill cares about the fans?
Well, I don't think he does, but I think the other people do, and I think that they would overrule him. And I don't, you know, you can make it about us and, you know, oh, woe is the media, you know, how hard their job is, blah, blah, blah. I think that would be a real slap in the face to fans. You can't even tell who's who out there.
Right.
Well, but, and for those of you who would make fun of the media, you're relying on us, most people who don't go to training camp, to tell you what's going on. And
when
if we can't tell you what's going on, what good is it?
Right. When you're not there and you're looking to find out what someone thought happened at practice, I can't tell you how unproductive those 5 practices were for us as a media?
From an evaluation standpoint.
From an evaluation standpoint. Because there was so many plays that I saw that I said, oh,
that's a good play.
Who
is that?
That was.
You wonder if the Patriots front office didn't get letters or emails from fans saying, hey, you know, this hurt my understanding of what happened because the media wasn't able to.
Well, if they haven't, then here's your call, Patriot Nation. Right. Do that now.
Yeah.
Because you've got 5.5 weeks until we have to do it again for real.
Kenneth in Poughkeepsie, New York. I'm going to the Buccaneers game. Been a fan for years now. Super excited. Can't wait. Should be good. Hopefully we'll win considering we have lost 5 of our last 6 NFC games going back to the Giants 24-20 game. Also, I was wondering about Rashad Dowling. Is he healthy? If so, will he play? I feel like most of the Patriots Nation has given up on him. I haven't. He's practically a first-round pick, and I think he could really help us playing alongside Tlaib. Just wanted to get your thoughts on him.
Well, he's been healthy this spring. He's been out there. I think he looks like he's a little bit stronger than his physical
Dowling?
Frame looks a little bit bigger.
Dowling's a candidate for your
the explosion?
Surprise explosion thing based on camp. I am not willing to pick him as my guy because I just don't
believe unreliable.
Yet. I just don't believe that he'll be healthy yet. But in terms of what we saw in the spring, he was active.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if he is healthy, he will play.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I would not expect him to get cut and rot on the bench, but I just don't see him being a big part of the team because I don't believe yet.
He also, to say he was practically a first rounder is kind of overstating it too, because very few people other than Bill Belichick thought he was even worthy of being drafted in the second round. So let's put that in context.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see if he can stay healthy, but when he has been healthy, he's been a borderline starter. Bill has considered him a star. I mean, he started his rookie year out of the gate. Opening night in Miami, Monday night, mm-hmm. he started, and he got hurt shortly thereafter. Last year, he was hurt initially, but then when he came back, he had a prominent role, and then he got hurt again. And some people say that hip injury, I think he had a torn labrum in his hip that he had surgery on after his rookie or during his rookie year, and that was related to the hamstring problems that he has had throughout, I think, going back to high school. So some people have sort of speculated that with that surgery now in the rearview mirror and maybe some strength there, his leg problems might be a thing of the past. Hopefully they are. You can get to see what kind of player he is and not necessarily base it all on the fact that he's injured all the time.
Yep.
I'm not sure he's a great player when healthy. I think he's a little bit big and stiff, as Richard Seymour once said.
Yeah.
Not about Rashad Dowling, just talking about being
too
big and stiff.
No, he does seem a little, like you said, he doesn't have that hip swivel.
Looks more like Taylor Twellman.
Taylor Twellman looks like he's on Mad Men now, doesn't he?
guys are watching. Taylor Twellman, ex-Revs, is now doing ESPN color commentary.
Mm.
He does have that Mad Men look.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. He really
does. Looks like John Hamm.
That might be the show that I am most upset that I have never seen.
Yeah, I watched a couple episodes. I wasn't impressed.
Really?
Yeah.
All the more I want to see it now. Because that just tells me that nothing blew up.
Did you go see Superman?
I haven't yet.
Oh,
have,
me neither.
Did you?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I really want to. I just didn't want to fight the crowd this weekend. Plus, I was busy.
Yeah.
But I will see it probably...
before maybe the party?
Oh,
you have
most
next
definitely
week?
Before the party.
Yeah?
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah. Most def.
Yeah, I will see Superman. By the way, Boston.com, we don't always like to bring everybody over there, but they have a cool thing today where you vote on your favorite comic book movies, and they had, like, the brackets, like the NCAA tournament.
Oh, yeah,
It's a cool idea, and they're in the second round now. But they don't have Watchmen as one of the movies, and they don't have Dark Knight Rises as one of
what?
The movies. Yeah, crazy. Crazy.
Dark Knight Rises is the best movie
of all time
well, in that category, in that genre.
Well, the first the Joker Batman was, I think, the best.
That was Dark Knight?
That was the Dark Knight.
Just the Dark Knight?
Whatever, but Rises is the last one.
Yeah,
Bane.
Yeah,
I thought that was the second best Batman.
Oh, see, I think that was the best one.
It could be. It's debatable.
But it's not even in the conversation.
Right. They had like 32 movies, and it's not even in there. Come on. And Watchmen's not in there. I mean, I know we don't like the blue guy with his things wagging all, but that was a great movie.
It was pretty good.
And they didn't have like others like they easily could have made it a 64.
Did they have
movie bracket?
Sin City.
Yes, it lost in the first round. to Batman. One of the Spider-Man.
Did that? Now, did they have other Batman movies?
Yeah, they had all
like the Michael Keaton ones.
Yes.
And they didn't have Dark Knight Rises.
Right.
You didn't like the Michael Keaton one?
I did.
The original one, because I did like.
If
it.
You're going to include that, you have to include all three of these.
I did like.
Yeah, I thought those were good, but I think Christopher Lloyd brought it to a whole new level.
Chris Nolan. Yeah.
Christopher Lloyd. 1.21 gigawatts.
Right.
Nolan-ians.
Yeah.
I don't know how they found me, Marty.
But like, you know, I know it's stupid, but they should have had Flash Gordon in there. There's a ton of movies they should have had.
More pyrotechnics.
Yeah. Oh, that was really low budget Flash Gordon.
Yeah. I'm just kidding, Fred. Yeah.
Like when he makes the...
I like to try to get you to yell at me.
Flash Gordon makes the reappearance in Ted.
Right. That was great.
I still haven't seen Ted.
Oh.
Don't give it away again, Kevin. He hasn't seen the end.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Thanks for listening. We'll be back Thursday. I'm sure there'll be something to talk about. There always is. We'll see you then.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.